Helena, hello. How are you?
Oh, I'm good. How are you?
Doing well. Excited to talk to you.
I'm excited to talk to you as well. Lots to unfold and unpack.
Yes. a lot for sure. Yes. How have things been with since the season has ended?
Things have been good. I feel like I got back to real world and came right back into reality. My cousin got married, so I was with family, you know, just enjoying that. So I really didn't get to decompress until a couple days ago. So it's good, though. I'm feeling good. I'm on a high.
Have you watched? I know some other people have already seen the whole season. Have you watched anything yet?
I've watched a few episodes. So I watched my eviction episode. I had to watch that.
Get it out of the way.
I did. I had to watch that for sure. I watched a couple episodes here and there just to our little bits and pieces, but I haven't watched the full thing yet. That's my weekend plan.
There you go. All right. What was the after stuff? Like, have you talked to anyone interesting?
I've talked to a majority of all the house guests. We've, you know, kept in contact and we've chatted. But I've, other than that, haven't done anything super interesting. Kept it just very surface level. You know, been dying to talk to you, unpack it all, and we'll see what happens.
All right. Well, let's get into it. Coming into the season, what kind of prep did you do? How much of the show had you seen? What kind of stuff like that?
So I've watched every single season of Big Brother. US, not all the seasons of US, but Canada, I've watched every single season other than season 6. And I heard that's an amazing season to watch.
It's the one Moose watched.
Yeah, that's the one that Moose watched. Exactly. So he talked about it. I was like, I don't know what's happening in season 6. All I know is Paris is from like Port Coquitlam. That's all I know. I'm like, I need to watch this season. So I've watched every season. And I knew that going in, I wasn't going to be a comp winner. That wasn't going to be my strategy at all. I wanted to win less comps and be more strategic, and play more of a social game. So with that, to say, like, I didn't dissect each season, watching it previously, I understood the game. I knew how it kind of worked and the dynamic of Big Brother. It changes with every cat, every house guest is different. So to come in prepared with, you know, what I'm going to do with the plan, nothing's going to go to plan. So I had a general over idea of what I wanted to do. So with that, that was kind of my prep. And I didn't, you know, I'm not like Kev. I didn't study hostage situations. I didn't go dive deep into podcasts. I never even watched live feeds. So to say I prepped, I did, I feel like, in a certain way, but not as much as Kevin. So I really can't say I prepped, to be honest, because next to this man,
yeah.
No, I didn't do anything. I did not study for this game.
What was the general idea of what you were thinking you might do or how you might play?
So I want to go into the house and be seen not as a threat. I want to be underestimated. In the real world, my kindness sometimes is taken for weakness. So I really wanted to play that up. And I wanted to think people, you know, I wanted people to think I don't have a brain of my own. And, you know, I'm really easily manipulated. To be even seen as a floater, maybe I'd be okay with that because I'd be, you know, making moves in the background scene, but no one would know or think it's ever coming from me. So I really wanted to play that up, but I wanted to be more of a background person, but while obviously playing the game, and build social, like, I build a social game. I know people say that obviously, but it's quite difficult in the house with a bunch of personalities. There's so much going on, but if I had concrete relationships with people, I feel like that would work to my asset. Because I know in our season, winning comps was something that was seen as such like a hierarchy, winning comps, you know, you're winning the game. But I didn't see that at all. Like watching Big Brother seasons, I knew if I won comps, I'd put a target on my back so fast. And also, where would I shoot if I were to put someone on the block? I would be, you know, kind of exposing myself. So that was something I didn't want to do. And I feel like I kind of executed that a little bit, obviously not perfectly, but kind of my gameplay of what I wanted. I think I'm pretty happy with how I played the game. Obviously there's some things I would change, but certain things like that. I feel like I wanted to be strategic and I wanted to have a social game and be really a background person, underestimated. And I think I was that, hopefully.
What are the biggest things you'd change?
The biggest things I'd change. I would not use my heart at the end of the game. I knew I should have kept JC Lynn. That was one thing, massive thing. And I knew that from the beginning. Kevin and I were talking. We'd go back and forth. And I said, we've got to keep JC Lynn. And he was on board too. And then, you know, speaking to Josh, he asked me, hey, can we chat? I was like, yeah, sure. And of course, the man pulls at my heart. And I was like, how can I do this? Like, how can I do this to him? Like, we're going to, you know, see the crash test dummies further. We're going to be in the final three. We can do this. And I just got wrapped up in it. And I knew, though, I knew from the beginning I should have, you know, kept JC Lynn, but I should be keeping JC Lynn. But that last minute, I used my heart. And that was game-wise not a good decision for me. But everything works out for a reason. And I think also, like, playing the game. As much as, you know, you want to be cutthroat, you're in there to play a game. Who I am as a person, like to lie, manipulate, and, you know, to backstab people, it's just all the shit talking, let's be real. That's not who I am as a person. So it really kind of ate away at me personally. And I would tell Kev, I'm like, Kev, like, this is really hard. I feel really bad. Like, oh no. And he's like, it's a game, Helena. Like, you got this. It's a game. Everyone's doing it. I'm like, it's true. I know everybody is, but it's just morally inside. It was just really difficult. And I've obviously got to put up a front and I'm like, it's okay. It's good. But I think just being in that house and doing what you have to do, it does kind of chip away at you, like inside. And even though you're like, okay, it's a game. I got to put my head in the game. Slowly as you keep going, like it showed, it chipped away at me and I couldn't be as cutthroat as I wanted to be because it's really hard. And I was faking it till I made it, but inside I was dying inside. It was really hard. It was hard.
Yeah. So you come in, day one, you break a glass, I believe. Kevin said that when he saw that, he knew that you were the person he wanted to work with.
Yeah, it's funny. People thought like, oh, you purposely did that. I was like, I wish it was on purpose. That's really who I am. I really am clumsy. I'm that quirky, dorky girl that, you know, I try to be cool, calm and collected, but I'm really not. So in that moment, I thought I was being evicted. I was like, that's it. Night one, I'm out of here. I tripped walking in. I even tripped walking down the stairs, coming into the house. Now I broke a glass. Like, these people are going to think this. No, get this girl out of here. Are you kidding me? But I think that kind of made me relatable, though, because it was like, this girl, you know, she's just being real. Like, she's just clumsy. I feel like it worked to my advantage being who I was. And Kevin kind of saw me as like someone real, and I wasn't trying to be someone who I wasn't. And same with him. I like noticed him as well. And he was, at first I was like, this person, you know, he's a villain. He's a genius. I was like, Kevin's a genius. I just know he is. And then him and I chatted. We got to know each other. There was something, I know it sounds so like cliche, but there was a vibe. There was something that with Kevin that we just understood each other. And yeah, we just related on so much. So that just kind of opened that friendship up.
Yeah. Well, it's in this first week that you really seem to develop a lot of like individual relationships that are going to be very important for you moving forward. Can you tell me more about like what happened here in week one? You know, we don't have the feed, so like, it's hard to know like how these relationships formed and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. Well, with everyone, you know, you're playing the game right away. You're chatting. Summer was actually the first person I talked game with. She was like the nicest person, still is obviously, but she was the first person to notice that I was so anxious. I felt like imposter syndrome in the house. And I know other people felt that as well. I was like, I don't belong here, but she chatted with me, sat down, we talked game. And majority of everybody was really friendly, really open, but there's no game talk at all. So Summer was the first person I talked game with day one, actually night one. And then it kind of, that kind of opened the gates, I feel like, for my own confidence to be able to talk game with other people. And Kevin and I, him and I didn't really chat much game at the beginning. It was, we thought it was day two, but day three, I think I went up to him or I don't know exactly who, but I was like, because we just chatted about just general life. And I was like, I thought I was going to have a big alliance in this house and I'd ride it out with a big alliance. But there's something about Kevin. I was like, want to be each other's ride or die. He's like, should we do this thing? I'm like, let's do it. We sat down in the phone room, cross-legged. We're like, okay, we're going to do this. We're going to spill everything out. And we shared everything about our lives. Like, he told me, you know, he's got his master's. I'm like, I'm doing my master's. Like, we shared everything. And from there, we're like, okay, like, this is it. We're in it. And we did not talk at that point. After that, after day three, him and I didn't talk. We're like, there's just this unspoken bond. So that first week of feeds, I was actually in alliance with Stephanie and JC Lynn. We were called the Sundays because it'd be either Sunday Funday or Scary Sundays. And I felt like game-wise, I felt a little closer with JC Lynn, and I know she felt the same. So as kind of that week went on, it's funny, I'd always communicate with JC Lynn. She would communicate with me. But me and Steph wouldn't really talk game much, and JC Lynn and Steph apparently didn't talk game much. So it was kind of a odd triangle. I was getting closer with Summer and Tanisha as well, game wise. So those are my main people. I was like, I was talking game with, really. And Marty, actually, I think it was like day five, or no, it was like probably day four. Him and I were outside in the backyard, and we just chatted. And yeah, I was like, I'm definitely open to, you know, working with you. And then from there, I was like, yeah, who knows? We could, you know, end up being in final two together. I threw it out there, and he's like, yeah. And I think he took it like, okay, you know what? We're going to be final two. She's the one. And I opened that conversation. And then from there, it was kind of, I just kind of nurtured that as the, you know, the days went on. And it, you know, was a fake final two on my end, but it worked to my advantage. And then from there, so I was slowly like planting seeds with everybody, and I was chit chatting, letting everybody know, like, hey, you know, we're good. Josh and I, also the first night, him and I chatted, that, you know, like, we're both in Vancouver, like, we feel good vibes from each other, but it was nothing any solidified. So my first week, I was just chatting with people and just planting seeds, letting them know, like, I'm a good person, yada, yada. But the only real alliance, I would say, was obviously with Kevin. And I started one. There was one started with JC Lynn and Stephanie, and then with Marty. That was like kind of the first week. It was just really building relationships. Everyone in the house was kind of scared to talk game right away, like full fledged. But obviously finding out people were talking game first week.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think something that you did really well is that you developed these individual relationships with people. And that's something that, you know, other players have done before, but like, I think something that, players sometimes struggle with is converting that into a game relationship as well. You know, because, you know, somebody like Jay had good individual relationships. Somebody like Tanisha even had good individual relationships, but not always converted to game ones. But you had these relationships that were also like, and I'm valuable to you in the game, and you should look out for me in the game. Whereas sometimes players find themselves like, I have so many great relationships, but nobody's looking out for me. And it's because they've got game relationships elsewhere. So what is it about the relationships that you created where you were able to get them on that game level?
Well, definitely whenever we did chat or talk, I'd always want to somehow like slip in game talk very lightly. I didn't want to be overbearing or come on too strong. But to let them know, like, game wise though, like, I am here to talk game. It's just not a personal relationship. And to hear people out, I feel like everyone loves to be heard, and whatever they're talking about, if you agree with them, you're on their side. So there's lots of conversations I had with people. I didn't really agree with it, or I didn't really, you know, think the same thing as them about somebody, let's say. But yeah, I'd definitely be agreeing. I'd be like, oh yeah, definitely. Oh yeah, no, they're totally like that. I know, it's so annoying. So I really was just that listener for them, and they just felt comfortable to, you know, openly talk with me and share things. And I would share things too, to a certain degree. So it wasn't just always, you know, people talking to me. I would share certain things that obviously one person I would tell would be Kevin, like, hey, Kevin, by the way, I said this, just so you know. So I'd cover my basis. And when I would talk about other people, I would really kind of pull on the heartstrings in the sense of, hey, by the way, I said this about you to this person. So just let you know, because they were talking game to me and I didn't, you know, and you and I are close. So I wanted to really pull up that personal relationship individually and let them know, hey, I'm talking game, but I used us because we're so close. So I did that with everybody. And I said, hey, I said this about you to this person. It was just game. If it ever comes out, just know it's not true. So that built trust with everybody else that I was talking to, obviously, because I'm talking game, but you, I'm telling you what I'm saying, and it's just game. So in that sense, it was never nothing too deep, not real secrets. Also, in the house, speaking with everyone, having personal relationships, I knew what people were telling each other. So in certain situations where I knew, let's say talking to somebody, I knew they already knew this information, but I'd bring it to them and be like, so, you know, I don't want to shoot myself in the foot, but this is what I heard. I already knew they knew this though. So it was funny. So in that sense, it's like, wow, okay. She's, you know, she's trusting me. Like she's really loyal to me. And in that sense, I really kind of just put it on them. But really though, I was, you know, kind of playing it.
Yeah. So week one, Herman is HOH and he's doing the let's build a big alliance in week one thing. Yeah. And you're not really a part of it. You are attached to some of the people that are in the alliance, but, mm-hmm. But for the most part, you're kind of left out of it, yeah. Which is not a great place to start. Mm-hmm. But you do have these relationships and there are a couple of other like players left out of it that I think are like solid enough players that it's going to be interesting because some of the people in the alliance, not the most solid players. So Herman puts up Jess and Melina. Jess mm-hmm. wins the veto. He ends up telling Kevin, hey, you know, you're going to go up. He tells Kevin that, that you were another option for him. Mm-hmm. But it seems like it was always going to be Kevin. Did you ever have a conversation with Herman where he mentioned that you were an option or, you know, what was that like?
Yeah. So no, Herman and I spoke and we had a good chat. We're like, okay, you're from Nanaimo. I'm Surrey. And this, we just chatted. I'm like, you know, you're not on my radar at all. Like we can look out for each other in this game. So we had a really good chat and he was like, you're not someone I want to put up or going to put up. So later on when I found out that I was an option to be put up, I was like, oh, wow. I didn't even know that. Cause Herman and I were always cool the entire game until obviously Herman started catching on to me and Kevin. That's when I started pitching Herman's name. But him and I were always cool. We were good. So I was actually surprised to think I was even an option because our personal conversations that we had while he was HOH was really good and it was positive. I may have been an option. I don't think so. I think it was always going to be Kev as they didn't really talk much. But then again, who knows?
Yeah. What he told me was that you were never an option for him. I think yeah. that he like when he talked to Kevin, I think he threw out some other names as like, you know, it came down to you or this person, but yeah. You know, I don't think he ever actually would have though, put you up on the block.
Yeah.
So Kevin goes.
I heard that Moose pitched my name for the first week. I was like, Moose, you pitched my name. But fair enough, though, me and Moose did not talk game till like later on. So that totally makes sense.
I think I remember when Moose pitched to you. It might have been in week yeah. two. Yeah. And he was like, oh, we can do something together. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. You were like, I don't know about this guy.
Yeah.
So Kevin goes up on the block. This must not have been ideal for you at this point. You probably yeah. felt best about Kevin. But it didn't seem like there was any real momentum to flip this vote or anything. That was always going to be Melina.
Yeah, it always was. I think Melina kind of started a little bit late in the game, chatting with people. And that was kind of evident with the whole house. And Kevin, he, you know, was building his relationships personally with everybody. And Melina came on, you know, really strong and she was campaigning and she was making great points. And of course, personally, she's such a cool person, really, you know, good person. But it was just like game wise, like you started playing late and she, you know, admitted that as well. And me building alliance with Kevin, I was like, there's no way Kevin can go. Like, okay, like I've told him everything now. Like, this is one person that, you know, I'm wanting to build more trust with. Like, I don't know where Melina stands. I don't know if she's someone that, you know, would be loyal to me. So when chatting with other people without obviously exposing myself, it was kind of a consensus that Melina didn't really talk game with anybody really at the start of, you know, the week, that it was just kind of the fair game thing to do. And Kevin really obviously pitched really hard. He was telling me, yeah, Melina, she just talked to you. I saw that. By the way, after you turn around, she talks shit about you. I'm like, wow, really? Our conversation was so good. He goes, yeah. Like, so he was doing in the work as well for himself. Like, he was going hard. So that really obviously helped him. Week one, just kind of like, I trust this guy, but it's only week one. Like, I'm not going to be campaigning for him. Like, are you kidding me? But he was doing, he took care of himself in that sense, that first week. And just Melina, unfortunately, she just, you know, started a little too late. So Kevin beat her on that one for sure.
Yeah. So Melina is evicted and we go into week two. You also are going to end up joining the Mandams alliance, I think around the turning point of the week, right?
Yeah.
And so how did you, because this is the first kind of like, you know, you have the thing with Jace and Steph, but this is now like a 4-person alliance. It's the biggest thing that you're sort of involved in now. How did you feel about it at the time?
I felt really good. I personally really loved all the individuals in Mandems. I felt closest to Summer. And so with that, I felt really good. And like personally, we related on things, we chatted, we're all, you know, we're in the same room. It was just good. I felt really good about it. And I was like, these are like, you know, women I do want to work with. And like game wise, like they're aligned with majority of people in the house. Like our bases are covered with everyone we all talk to. So I felt really good and I was excited about it. And for Kevin and I to work, we discussed that we have to share everything with each other. So if Kevin would share things with me, I would share things with him. So there was no secret. So I told him about the Mandems. I don't think I told him right away, but I told him I think like a little bit after. And he'd share
things. You told him on day 8.
Day 8, yeah. So with that, there was just no secrets. And he's like, yeah, that's great. Like, awesome. Okay, good. Like, you know, he'd shared this, you know, the alliances he was in. And I felt really good about it. And I think that, you know, we could have gone really far. Where I guess, obviously, I broke the Mandems is when I sent Tanisha home.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and I just knew that as much, like, I had loyalty to the Mandems. I really did. But I just felt just the way the dynamic of the house was. Tanisha was very close with Hermon and Moose. Mm-hmm. And I just thought like when it came down to it game wise, like looking forward, I don't think she'll be able to cut Moose or Hermon before she cuts me because they can win comps. They're socially great. Like Moose is such a good talker. And Hermon, like he can win comps. I just know he has that fire in him. And just like on the chain of, you know, safety wise of all of that, I just don't think that I would be at the top of the list for her. So that was a game move of to cut that. But it was so hard for me to do. And I think I don't think the world in Canada thinks that it was just easy for me to, you know, just cut Tanisha. But it wasn't, though. That was the thing. I went back and forth with Kevin.
I remember.
I went back and forth with Kevin. I go, Kev, like, there's so many reasons of why I should keep Tanisha. It makes sense to me, but game wise though, if I see it game wise, why it makes sense also to send Tanisha home, but it was a hard decision. And it was tough to obviously tell her because people, I made my mind up. I had my mind made, but just who I am as a person, obviously I'm going back and forth. I'm just talking out loud. I'm, you know, I'm telling my number one, I don't know what to do. Like, should I go back and forth? I don't know. I'm not going to tell everybody I've made my decision either. Like that's just makes no sense. So people are going to think I'm wishy-washy, which is totally fine. In my head though, I knew I was sending Tanisha home, but the fact of just actually like saying it out loud and telling her, yeah, it was really hard for me. And I admit, I didn't have the guts to tell her. I was going to break her heart. I was breaking my heart and I couldn't do it. I did it at the last minute. Because it was just so difficult for me. And I was kind of ruining everything. And I really did want to ride it out with them, but I just knew that game wise, it would not have been a smart decision for me.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think that's sort of, again, like the thing about Tanisha's game is that she was so good socially. She made people feel so good about her, but then didn't really follow it up as much with the game talk. That in the duo of Tanisha and Summer, Summer was really the game talker and Tanisha was really like the social person, and which isn't to say that Summer wasn't a social person either, but But I think that's why Tanisha got built up as this big sort of like game player, because it was like, well, she's so good with me and she's so good with so many people, she must be talking game with all of these people, exactly. But not me, because yeah. She's not talking game with me. And that made it that made her seem like she was a bigger threat than she was.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. Because even within the Man Dems, I would talk game with Summer. I would talk game with Betty. Tanisha and I would talk game a little bit, but not as much as with the other girls. So in that sense, exactly. I'm like, she doesn't really talk game with me. We have personal relationship. Yes, we talk personally, but game wise, no. It's usually I talk more game with Summer, and it's like, oh, okay. Like, I don't really know. Like, if we all talk together, we'd talk, all four of us would talk, but we wouldn't always talk us four. It'd be like relaying messages with one another, or finding things out. So exactly that, like Tanisha was such a social player that it did, the optics of it seemed like she was talking game with everybody and she was always going to be good with everybody. And I was just like, maybe with my own insecurity of, well, I don't know if she's not talking game with me. So maybe she's talking game with everybody else. And maybe I'm getting played and, you know, I have to take this shot before she takes a shot at me. And it was a game move. And I think it was the best game move for me. And, you know, hopefully she sees it like that. But yeah.
Yeah. Well, Josh was kind of the same way at first as well, where like a lot of people saw Josh as like, and the thing is that Josh wasn't as outwardly social. He was a little more reserved. And I think that actually helped him, at first, because he wasn't talking game with many people in the beginning either. And a lot of people were like, who's he talking game with? Cause he's not talking game with me. And then of course it eventually became, Kevin, but, so week two, Marty is the HOH, and that means that you're good because Marty has a deal with you. He tells Gino about it on day 10. He's like, I've got a final two with Helena.
That man, honestly, great man, but he cannot keep his gob shut at all. Like, he would be saying things before they even happened or even played the comp. I go, Marty, you can't tell people, stop. Like, I'm like, are you telling people you have final two? He's like, no, like, you have to mention it. And I was like, oh my, he's like, I'm going to bring you in an alliance with me, Kevin, Gina. I was like, oh my goodness. And I'd go along with it, but inside I was yelling. I was like, it's fine. It's okay. Okay, cool. Like, that's so much in the game where I was always like, it's okay. It's fine. I don't care. But inside I'm like raging. I'm like, it's fine. And I'd be like, tell Marty, please keep a secret. It's like, I can keep a secret. I'm like, no, you cannot, Marty. Just come on. You've been telling everyone, beginning Gino, that him and I are close. So I really had to do damage control. And like, no, me and Marty are not close. Like, I got asked, I think, by JC Lynn, like early on, like, oh, you and Marty are close. I go, no, me and Marty haven't really talked much game at all. Like, I had to, like, because obviously Gino told JC Lynn. So,
No. Yeah. Marty's like, I've got ears. I've got ears on the other side. I'm not going to say who, but, it's Helena. I've got Helena's my mole on the other side.
yeah.
So obviously Marty is going to, he's going to consider a few options here for nomination. Kevin is one of those options for the initial nomination and then a serious option for the renom. Aware of this were you, in terms of like the Kevin danger?
I was not aware of that at all, to be honest. I did not know that. It's funny, we were kind of like wanting, I was trying to push for Stephanie to go up, like it just made sense. Mm-hmm. But Marty had his deal with Stephanie, and I was just like, Stephanie's, I'm not gonna keep her deal. Like, she wouldn't have kept the deal. Like, you guys didn't like say deal,
right?
Like, she wouldn't have kept it. Like, hello, it's a game. Like, you're not keeping your word. Like, you put her up.
No, I've got to keep my word until jury. Then I'll betray my word.
Exactly. At that point, it's like, Marty, you've already broken your word before jury multiple times. Don't worry about it, but you'll be fine. But no, he had this sense, and I didn't know because he never sent Kevin to me. Mm-hmm. So I was like, I was not aware of it at all. Yeah. I had no idea. And then when Marty brought up Jay's name, I was like, wow, I did not see that coming. I did not see that coming at all. And then obviously when they discussed that, they tried to reach out to Jay and, you know, speak game, but it just, you know, didn't really go anywhere. and they want to make a big move. And I was like, all right, shoot your shot. Let's see what happens. But who's sitting next to Jay, you know, that matters. So it was just, yeah, that didn't really make sense to me that Jason Lynn went up. It should have been Stephanie, in my opinion. But, you know, his word meant everything to him at that moment, at that week, and that during that week, it really did. So I had no idea Kevin was even an option. I did not know that.
Yeah. After Jace wins the veto, the renom is going to be Betty after being told to kick her feet up.
That's a curse. I never want to hear that ever. Anyone ever tells me in my life, kick your feet up, I will literally, oh my God, God, Bob, would you, do not ever say that ever. That is a curse. He told that to people all the time. At one point he told me that. I go, Marty, do not say that to me. Please do not say that to me.
My feet are firmly planted on the ground, Marty.
10 feet, 10 toes down. Sorry, 10 feet down. 10 toes down always.
Yes.
Oh my goodness.
So.
Hindsight. I thought Betty knew though. That's the funny thing.
Oh yeah.
I mean, yeah. And I asked her, I'm like, oh, you didn't know? And she's like, no, I had no idea. Cause she was so composed. Mm. I was like, I thought he must have told you like the replacement noms. That point, because I wanted to keep my distance with Marty as well, like whoever I worked with, whoever I actually was close with, I didn't always want to be, you know, seen talking to them. So I didn't know Marty was going to put up Betty. Like I knew, okay, he had to put somebody up, he was still thinking about it. And from there I was like, oh, you should put Stephanie up, like the house will be fine with it, trust me. He's like, I have to think about it. And I was like, okay, it's up to you now, like I can't be seen talking to you for too long. And when it was Betty, I was shocked and she was shocked as well. And afterwards I asked her, I'm like, did you know? She's like, I had no idea. So that was, I was like, wow, I was shocked.
Yes. And this is of course, the moment where Betty says,
I do hate you,
to Kevin.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh my goodness. Yeah. I heard about that. Their moment, in the bathroom and, yeah, she gave it to him. But her feelings, obviously, they were, you know, talking and she felt like Kevin knew and he kind of owed it to her. But why would Kevin tell Betty, though? Like, it didn't, game-wise, I don't think she would have told him. But, you know, she had to let her frustration out. And it's just, unfortunately, it was Kev. He was there, wrong place, wrong time.
she knew. She knew deep down that this guy, he was a terrible person.
You told me I was a terrible person.
Yeah. And I meant that.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. Yeah. No, definitely. Yeah, she knew. She had a gut feeling. And she was right. Kevin played the game, and to say he's a terrible person, I would disagree. Even him being the villain of the season, he's a happy villain. Like,
well, he is a bad boy.
I'm a bad boy. I'm a bad boy.
Yeah, I guess he's a bit naughty, isn't he? Yeah, for sure.
All right. You know, the week goes pretty well overall. You know, Betty and Jay on the block. It's a relatively, you're in the Mandems with Betty. Mm-hmm. I think at this point you have a better relationship with her. The house is leaning toward taking Josh out, or sorry, Jay out. And also Betty is like starting to be like, okay, I'm going for the guys. Like I'm going for the big structure here. And so like, that's good. Makes her a target. And if she wins, then she's doing good things. It's also you had a funny conversation with Kevin because, the two of you were doing similar things with people and you were both joking about how like, so many people are like, we really want you to win HOH.
Yes. Everyone kept saying that to us. Like, what would you guys do? Like, you know, individually, what would you do if you won HOH? Like, you should win HOH. Like, we're so excited. It's so funny because we're just like, well, we would put you up. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you're asked, okay, you're so excited, but like, really, you'd go up or, you know, whatever the situation was. But yeah, it was so fun. The similar conversations we're having, just different people in the house, they're saying the same things to us and they had no idea we even talked or we were anything. Like, nobody expected Kevin and I to work together. Towards the end, obviously there were some speculations, but at the beginning, having, you know, going days without talking to each other and just having that trust, it, like when we did talk, it was like, oh, they must be chatting about, you know, who knows, like his wife or something. Like at times I'd like fake like, in the kid, I'd be like, oh, hey, Kyle, like, because my name's Kevin. Like, oh, yeah, sorry. Yeah. Like, oh, you know, I'd say like certain digs about Kevin. Oh, my God. Like, I keep mixing him up. Like, what's his name? Like, I could, you know, like we'd like kind of smack talk each other, like behind each other's backs to other people to, you know, so people get it. Like, oh, I can't stand him. He's so annoying. But really, we didn't feel that way at all. It was just like, you know, to build the facade up.
No, you guys did a very good job of it, because obviously we missed the first week of feed, so we never saw you forming the ghosts. Yeah. And it wasn't in the episodes until I think maybe week four or something. So, I mean, it took a while even for the live feeders to recognize, like, we knew that you were working together, but you were working with a lot of people and he was working with a lot of people. I don't think it was until either like Kyle's HOH or even maybe the start of Jess's HOH that we were like, oh, these two are for sure locked in together.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, we kept it really under wraps. Even when we would chat, like it would be in passing. Like we'd mm-hmm. walk past each other and we'd like whisper something like, hey, I gotta talk to you, or like talk later, or like certain things like, you know, oh, like stop saying this to this person. Like we'd give each other little like hints and tricks, like, you know, by the way, hey, this person said this, like you're annoying this person, or you need to, you know, talk more to this person. So it'd be always be in passing though. It'd be like real quick. Like we wouldn't have actual like sit down, like strategic conversations at the beginning. It was always like in little bits, like kind of sporadic throughout the day and night, obviously. But yeah, no, him and I were always kind of on the same page. Like it was funny. I think it was, yeah, the second week surf's up competition, him and I like quickly got like, do we throw it faster later? And then we didn't get a chance to like fully say anything. So when I fell, like Kevin's like, okay, we're going to do it early then. Okay. Then he, you know, he's like, we didn't need to be on the same page here. Like we have to communicate more clearly. I was like, you're right. Like these like little impassing conversations need to be a little bit more concrete. Like we can sit down and talk to each other for 5 minutes and it will be okay. You know, if someone's next to us, like we can talk in code. But yeah, we really kept it under wraps though. Like that was something that was really important to us. Because yeah, I think at one point where he asked me, he's like, oh, do you have a final two with Marty? I go, yeah, I have a final two with Marty. He goes, okay, I have a final two with Jess. Like mm-hmm. we're like, we love it. Like we were telling each other everything. Okay, yeah, well, you make alliance with this person, like you chat with more with this. So it was all about communication and we really openly communicated right from the beginning. And it wasn't like full-fledged, like, you know, half an hour conversations or anything like that. But those little sporadic moments we had, it built up. And yeah, it just wasn't really, it's done in secret. A lot was done in secret.
Yeah, I think trying to remember, I think that the Kyle HOH, we saw, okay, these two are really close. Like they're definitely working really closely mm-hmm. together. And then I think it was the start of the Jess HOH where after he's basically telling Jess what to do for their HOH, he talks to you in the pantry and he's like, I've got Jess, like it's disgusting. Like I've got her, I've got them. And you were like, I've got Marty too. And I was like, okay, they're really just like laying it out here.
The funny thing is actually that week when Jess won, HOH, it was like right after they won, I think they're deciding their nom, sorry, that I told Kev, I go, Kev, like, should I just go up? Cause like, I can tell Jess to put me up, it'd be easy. Like, you know, we're going to take out Herman, like, or, you know, Moose. And he's like, what is wrong with you? He's like, take that back right now. And I was like, what? He goes, why would you ever want to be put on the block? Like, no. And I was like, yeah, you're right. Like, what am I thinking? Oh my goodness. Like, snap me back. Like, that's how it really worked. He was like, no, Helena, like certain things like he would say or do. I'm like, he's like, oh, I'm going to tell this person this. I go, Kev, no, you can't say that to them. I'm like, you're going to ruin your game. Like, don't do that. He's like, no, you're right. Okay, why would I do that? So like, he really snapped me back. And that week, I really was going to tell Jess, yeah, Jess, you should put me up. Like, why not be a pawn? Thank goodness I had Kevin, because at that moment, they snapped me back and was like, no, why are you using your heart? Use your head, dum-dum. Like, no. So I was like, yeah, that was really, I would have been such a dumb move if I did that, if I said that.
Yeah.
Thank goodness I did it.
Oh, well, Kyle wins HOH in week three. And this is the HOH where, you know, from our perspective, it was like, oh, no, oh boy, straightforward week. Obviously, Just going to go after Betty. Makes a lot of sense. Keep the majority intact. He's got the Savage Seven. He's got the retreat. He's got, he's got individual relationships with you and Jess and Kevin and, he's got a four person thing with Marty, which includes Moose, and they're replacing Moose with Herman, which basically means that they've got both of those covered. And so it's like, okay, he's, there are only a couple of people not in that structure. The main person being Betty, who's actively coming for Kyle. So pretty obvious choice here, but he doesn't want to do Betty. He doesn't want to do you. He feels like he's got a good relationship with you.
I don't know what was. So Kyle and I actually spoke, I think maybe it was first week or second week. I don't remember, but we were in the Expedia room and him and I chatted and we're like, you know, we can be an asset to each other's game. And, I built that trust with him and I was like, yeah, no, definitely. Like I would share certain information with him and he would share things with me. But it'd always be like, I'm not going to give you all my animals, but like, I'll give you a goat. You give me a sheep, like certain things like that. He'd always use analogies like that. I'm like, yeah, sure. Of course. Like, why not? So I felt like I felt good of, with Kyle winning HOH because I built that relationship. But I did not know how chaotic, though, he was going to make the week. Like, it was shocking, like absolutely shocking. Cause at one point it really was, he was asking me, he's like, okay, so, who should I put up? And I'm like, what? Like, well, what are you thinking here? Like, give me some names to go on. Like, he just was all over the place. Like, I don't know. It was a lot.
It was. So he decides he's going to go after Steph. And he's going to put, Betty up as a pawn. And then things change again because, that's how things are. Moose gives an award winning performance.
Oh my gosh. What Moose is doing. This is an award winning performance.
Yeah. I thought that was fake. That fight. We all kind of thought it was fake at first because I was like, no, really? Like, and then afterwards, like, no, it was real. And then to truly find out after, it was really, really real. But at first, it seemed fake, though. The way Stephanie came out and yelled, Moose! And we're like, what? I think Tanisha was like, yeah, we and Tanisha were down. She was, like, braiding my hair. I was sitting on the couch. Stephanie yells from the top of the HOH.
Where's Moose?
Yeah, where's Moose? Yeah, I was like, what? Moose is making pizza in the kitchen. It all just seems so calculated. They both went to art school. I was like,
well, so, I mean, speaking of schools,
my degree is not in English. It is in sport media.
Wow. Exactly that. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? That was a shocker. Shocker.
I mean, surely at that point you were like, okay, sport media, that this guy's got to go. This is.
Oh,
yeah.
Definitely. Like. Well, that's a threat to my game for sure. But he was just all over the place. I think the way like Kyle, yeah, good personal, but like game wise, though, he just really was focused on being a legend that it blurred everything though. I think him and Moose having that personal relationship of, going to school together, they could have done big things. That's such an asset in the game. And Kyle just, he blew that all up. And also with blowing himself up, he blew up Moose's game. Moose was someone that was well-connected. He spoke with everybody so perfectly. Like, he knew what to say, what not to say. But obviously got a little bit messy for Moose. But Kyle definitely ruined Moose's game. That was for sure. Because after Kyle, exposed Moose for, them went to school together and they're both in sports media, no one really trusted Moose. And that was like, oh, Moose, like it should have came from Moose. I feel like it would have definitely worked in his favor, but it coming from Kyle first, it was just like, oh, this kid is coming out to get you.
Yeah. Yeah. Moose never really recovers. And Kyle's blowing up all of his alliances. I mean, in order to put Steph up, he needs to tell everyone about his five person alliance with Steph. And then he decides he's not targeting Steph anyway. So instead, he's targeting Josh. And in order to target Josh, he needs to let everyone know about the 7-person alliance.
I have a question. I don't know. Has he watched Big Brother though before? Like, it really is shocking. You're in a 7-person alliance. Like, it really, you can't take a shot at anybody else outside the 7. Like, okay, cool. You put Stephanie up. But now you have Josh in your 6-person alliance. You're going to put him up too. And then you're exposing everything else. It just, I don't understand why, because he could have put up somebody else and not pissed off 5 other people, but he chose not to go that route. Well,
literally, he had 3 major alliances. He had the Savage 7, he had the Retreat, and he had a 4-person thing with Marty, Gino.
Was it the Voice Village thing?
He came up with a lot of different names, but Village Voice was one of them. But it was originally just a 4-person thing with Marty himself, Gino, and Moose. And then during Marty's HOH week, he was kind of like, can we replace Moose with Herman? Because Moose is a little too much of a wild card. And they were like, yes, but Moose was still in that one. And he knew about a 4-person guys thing there as well. So basically Kyle took his main 3 alliances. He took a shot at Steph from the Retreat. He took a shot at Moose from the 4-person guy thing. And he took a shot at Josh from the Savage. He blew up everything he was in. So basically he, you know, the story about like the Kyle Moore situation. That's when he found out that Big Brother existed, I think. Mm-hmm. And then he watched season 9 and he went back and he watched some of the previous seasons as well. But, you know, I think like probably like the year that he had to sort of get acclimated to the show maybe wasn't quite enough to, it was enough to like get him excited about playing, but not enough to like be like, don't target your alliance members.
Exactly. You need to realize you need to, you know, think before doing. And also, I think I saw a clip of Marty kind of pitching, obviously when he pitched Josh, and he was like, you know, you want to, you know, take on a strong player, yada, yada. I think, you know, Kyle being 23, he very easily influenced him. It was kind of like, well, he had this legend, you know, mindset and thinking, okay, if I do this, I'll be a legend. Like, it's okay. I can still work with these people, but exactly not having the background knowledge of Big Brother, like having the excitement is one thing, but knowing like you don't put your own people up like that, not even as like pawns. It's not a good thing to do. He just didn't have the knowledge of it. Because it just all went crumbling so fast, but it was the best thing for my game. I absolutely loved the chaos. I loved it because people were talking left, right, and center. Kyle was just the spotlight and it took away from everything. And it was just the best thing ever for like my personal game. So I would not take, I mean, I love that all happened because it was the best thing for me.
It really was. So there was a diary room, I think, in one of the episodes where you were like, I hate this. This is too like, I don't like what Kyle's doing. And I was like, why, Helena? Like, it's so good for you.
It is. But I guess just hearing all of it, though, it was just so much because he was putting the stress on everybody else. Mm-hmm. That was the chaoticness of the house of like, I don't like this because everyone was uncomfortable. Everyone was on edge. The vibe in the house, the aura in the house was just so off. It was like, this is my first time experiencing this in this house, that he made everybody feel so paranoid, so just flustered and clustered. Like he'd be asking, I think at one point, I remember talking, I think this was when I had to do replacement noms. He's like, okay, Josh, Tanisha, Betty, or Summer. And he's like, well, Betty can't win. So you know what? No. And who would you put? I go, well, to say like, I'm good with everybody. Like, what are you thinking? He's like, no, tell me. And he's like, do I have your vote? Do I have your vote? I go, Kyle, you haven't even told me who is sitting next to Stephanie. So how can I say you have my vote? Like, let me know what you decide. Then I'll let you know. Like, I can't just tell you right away. I'm like, whatever you think is best for you, because at that point, yes, I trusted Kyle a little bit, but I didn't trust him. Obviously, his week being HOH, that blew up. I was like, no way I trust this guy. So I wasn't going to say any names to him because he's the type of person I felt that would go back and tell people, hey, well, Helena did say, you know, I should put you up. So I didn't want to say a name to him, but he wanted my vote. So I said, when you decide, let me know. He's like, I need your vote. I need your vote. And I was like, okay, Kyle, you have my vote. You do. I'll tell you whatever you want to hear. Just, you know, like little puppy, just got to pet him, be like, yeah, of course. No, for sure. But it was just, he was getting everyone's head and he was just pissing everybody off. So that's why I was like, I can't handle this guy anymore. I can't handle it. I don't like it. I don't.
Yeah. And he's also going to, he's going to come up to you and be like, basically like, you know, I've got a great opportunity for you, Helena. There's I've got four people in an alliance and I'd love for you to come on as our fifth. You have a great reaction after he leaves, like, this guy thinks I'm an idiot.
Yeah, literally. I'm like, you think I'm, you know, I'm dumb, not stupid. I think that's the line I said, something like that.
If something like that.
The way you talk to me, like, Kyle, yeah, like, somebody talked to me, like, I'm like, you know, a 16-year-old, like, I'm 18, let's say. Like, I'm younger than him. I just don't know anything. I'm just, you know, I'm just new to this. And I would take it because obviously it's a game and I'm like, I don't really care. It's fine. But it gets to me sometimes. I'm like, you really think I'm dumb? Like, I don't understand. But it was fine. I was like, no, of course. Yeah, Kyle, I don't know anything. Sure. All right. You know, keeping that, you know, game face on.
Mm-hmm. So the house is flipping against Kyle. This is a weird kind of turning point in the game where obviously all these alliances are now broken up. And there's this weird kind of like lack of trust and sort of like not knowing where the votes will be, right? Because you've got like Herman on one side who's still pretending to be with the guys but really wants to turn his back on Kyle, and you've got you and Kevin who are also still pretending to work with the guys but are wanting to turn your back on Kyle, but neither of you really know that the other one is on the same page.
Yeah.
About turning, because sort of visibly you're still pretending. To Kyle's still like, I've got Herman. He's my bro. Yeah. And to Herman, he's like, I got Helena. I got Kevin. They're in my back pocket. And so both of you are like, nah, we can't trust the other one. And this is when Herman starts to get kind of, annoyed with you because, he feels like he's trying to get the votes, but he feels like you're kind of wavering. You're kind of like going back and forth about where you want to be with the vote. And you start to get kind of annoyed with him and his annoyance with you and the lack of trust of like, where are things going to go? And Kevin tries to make a final two deal with Herman, that he basically turns down. And it's very messy. You end up, going, okay, I'm going to blame Herman for my vote. And then Herman finds out that you're blaming him for the vote. And then this is really the start of the end of the Herman relationship.
Yeah. So the thing is, everyone that was working with too, they were saying Herman is playing the middle. And I thought too, in the sense Herman's playing the middle, it's like, you know, don't know if you can fully trust Herman. And I was like, yeah, like, don't tell Herman a lot. And even I knew personally Herman was playing the middle. Mm-hmm. And it kind of seemed with Herman, he would never tell me anything. So, but yet he wanted to know everything from me though. So you want to know all my information, but you're not sharing anything. So in that sense, I did get a little bit frustrated where I didn't want to tell him right away because I didn't know if I could fully trust him because I was like, is he, you know, maybe he is really truly loyal to Kyle and Gino and, you know, and he's going to go back and say that, you know, Helena's not voting. And then they're all going to know, and I'm going to be exposed. And so I don't know why there's something with Herman. I could not trust him. And I was hearing from other people as well. They didn't feel like they fully could trust him either, as he may vote to keep Josh. He may not. Like, we don't want to for sure secure a vote from Herman, because he'd expose himself, obviously. So it was like, it's up in the air. And also he was catching on to me and Kevin, where I think we talked personal stuff, like favorite movies. And I guessed Kevin's favorite movie. He's like, wow, that's, you know, a really good guess. How would you know that? And I was like, I don't know. I just guessed. Like, I got everyone's movies right, which I was getting everyone's movies right. Their favorite genre. And he just caught on to that. I was like, oh my God, I cannot, like, why? Like, how can he, why is he catching on to that? It's like, I don't understand. Like, I was like, no way. And little things, of course, like, were just, you know, annoying me. When you live with somebody, they're going to annoy you. And me, I was being very wishy-washy. And I think it was at this point, yeah, Josh, Kevin and I were kind of starting to like work together a little bit, but not really, wasn't fully formed. No, I guess it was. No, it wasn't police.
Not yet.
No,
this is not so yet. Yeah, because Josh is on the block and Kevin's like really working with him to like flip the votes. He's working on Marty. And then you also talk with Josh about which votes you have. And he's telling you like, I'm most confident with Kevin. I don't really don't really trust Herman's vote. And so this is, the seeds, like the personal relationship had been there, I think, for both of you. But this is the start of you really like working a little bit of game with Josh because it's really Josh's entry into the game. He hadn't really talked game with anybody until this point.
Yeah. So in that point where I remember it was like Herman was asking, he's like, where's your vote? Like, whatever you vote, I'll vote that way. And I'm thinking, no way you're going to vote the way I vote. Like, he was just obviously saying that to get information and, you know, figure out where I'm at. But I'm just like, I don't fully trust. There's something other people are telling me they don't trust you either. So it wasn't just my own, you know, gut intuition to find that I wasn't giving what he wanted. I think other people were giving Herman exactly what he wanted. And they were just, you know, telling him everything and he wanted to hear. And I wasn't doing that. And that was frustrating for him. Fair enough. I get it. But it was just something that with Herman, I'm like, I just don't trust you game wise. Like, I can't. I'm not going to give in. I was that wishy-washy person. I think that even continued on until, like, you know, the Tanisha week as well, where he wanted, like, are you going to vote? Are you not? Because at one point he wanted to flip as well. He's like, what way you're going to vote? Then let me know and I'll vote that way too. And I was like, I'm not telling you. I'm like, there was just something. I'm like, I don't know if I can trust him because he was playing the middle for so long that if I were to tell him, actually the way I'm voting, he would go back and tell other people. And it would expose me. So it was just someone, he saw me and I just unfortunately just could not trust him game wise in that sense.
Yeah.
So, it carried more frustration.
Yes. Yeah, so you blindside Steph. And then afterward, Herman is going to go straight to Gino and like explain himself. And then you make the attempt of being like, oh, Herman approached me last minute and got me to flip my vote, essentially, which then goes pretty much straight to Herman. And he's like, she's a liar. And it's like, uh-oh.
I know. Even in that, I wanted to cover my bases. And I was saying, obviously, Herman's playing the middle, but obviously I'm playing the middle as well. I'm playing everybody too. So I thought might as well throw this person under the bus. It kind of obviously backfired in that sense. And that created, you know, created something between me and Herman even more game wise, because him and I were cool. But, you know, I was like, oh, you know what? It won't get back to him. I thought in that moment, so naive. But I was like, no, he won't find out because everyone's talking about Herman. Everyone's saying they don't trust Herman. So how is he going to get back to Herman? But no, it did.
So Gino's the HOH though. And he is initially putting up Marty and Jess. But there's definitely an intention, I think, to backdoor either Betty or Tanisha at first. And things change though. You are a part of how things change, but I'm very curious to know from you what your intention was in this. So you have a conversation with Gino where you kind of like drop the bomb on Herman as much as possible. It seemed like that was the intent, to sort of be like, you can't trust Herman. He's been saying all these things about you. He's working with Tanisha and Summer and them. And like, you think you've got people on your side, but you don't. Herman's got people on his side. And it felt like the intention was to try and turn Gino against Herman.
It was, yes. Only because Herman, like I said, he saw me and Kevin, and he was the only person to ever highlight anything with Kevin and I. And I was like, Herman is smart. He's clocked us. Like, he has to go. Like, he has to go. And he's a strong player. I know he can win comps. And with that, being his personal relationship with everybody else in the house, I'm not very high on his, you know, safety that he would keep. So he's someone I need, you know, to be put up. And also, he didn't tell Gino he was going to flip. Like, this is an in I have, and I can hopefully kind of, you know, plant this seed for Gino and let him know that he needs to go up. And, you know, he's playing the middle, he's playing everybody. So that was definitely my plan. And, you know, of course, me, you know, saying Tanisha's name and saying Moose's name is just collateral. Unfortunately, like, you know, they just had their names had to be said because, you know, I know they were close with Herman. So I couldn't just be strongly pitching Herman because that would just be like, oh, she has a vendetta against Hermon. It wasn't that at all. Hermon just noticed me and Kevin and nobody else did. So I'm like, this is a threat to my game. Like, that's all that it is. But yeah, Hermon was super smart because he clocked us right away and he had to go because of that. So, and then obviously him and I, you know, we butted heads because we both didn't fully trust each other. So it just, you know, that created that whole narrative.
Yeah, well, so it seems like, because like I said, it seemed like you sort of contributed to this, that like you say this to Gino, and it seemed like he was like, oh boy, like, you know, Hermon's, you know, got more numbers than I thought. And, yeah. And I'm basically, he was like, well, I might not have the votes to send out, you know, Betty or Tanisha if I do make the move. And then Summer comes in and she's like, listen, I've got people. And she's like, you do what we want. You're going to be okay. That's what I'm saying to you. And so Gino says, you know what? All right, I'll do it. I'll do what they want. I'm going to put Kyle up on the block. How did you feel about that decision?
I was good with it. The house was good with it. It's actually afterwards, I think I told Gino wanted to know who flipped the house. Who started it? And I didn't share that information. Later on, I actually shared it with him. And I was like, you know what? Because he was like, Tanisha's such a social, strong player. And he actually wanted to put Tanisha up on the block. But he was like, you know, I wouldn't have the numbers. Like, there's no way. But he actually would have initially put Tanisha up on the block. But he chose not to. And then from there, you know, obviously Marty, it would have been Marty and Tanisha, from what I think, from our conversation. But chose to put Jess up. And then after that, it was Kyle, because everyone was kind of pitching Kyle. And even I had that, you know, the house would, you have the numbers, like you would build, you know, relationships again with people. If you put Kyle up, like it makes sense for your game. It makes sense. So why not? To say it was the best thing for my personal game, I don't really know. It's kind of like, okay, we're going with the majority of the house right now. Let's just see what happens. And you have the numbers. If you want a clean, easy week, just put Kyle up. And he's like, you know, it's going to be hard for me personally, but you're right. Like, you want to disassociate from Kyle, just put him up. And you know, he's going to go home. We have the numbers. So it was game wise, it was the easiest thing for Gino. Like, so I was fine with it because the house wanted it and it was just going to be clean and easy after the chaotic week we had. It was just something like, okay, let's just do it.
Mm-hmm. So Kyle ends up leaving. It's probably the most straightforward week of the season. And Jess wins the next HOH, and immediately Kevin is in Jess's ear telling them essentially what to do, Moose and Hermon. There's also then a lot of like conversations with Summer and Betty and Tanisha that you're kind of a part of that are like, you know, what is Jess doing? You know, hopefully we can, you know, get, you know, Hermon out at times, maybe Moose out. They kind of go back and forth a few times. And you are also, I think, developing a closer relationship with Jace at this point. You're trying to like sort of like, you know, walk that line as well. And then there's also a big push to get you on the block when the veto is won by Hermon. So walk me through this, because this is a tricky week in the first half of it, at least for you.
Yes. So I didn't know that I kind of thought, okay, I may be an option. It would be like, you know, we, from the talks we had, be Betty, Summer, Tanisha, and I, us four would be options to be put up. And there's talk about Kevin being an option, but really though, like once obviously speaking to Jess that they were not going to put up Kevin. It was not an option. It's between us four. And I didn't know that. I had a feeling when we talked, us men Dems talk, we were like, we're not going to pitch each other. We're not going to pitch each other. I heard talk. Jess told me that, you know, Tanisha did pitch you. Summer and Tanisha pitched you. I was like, what? No way. Like, they told me we're not going to pitch at all. Like, so I was like, wow, really? Okay, well then, like, they're pitching me. And at that point, I don't know why, like, at that moment, I didn't realize that Summer and Tanisha and Jess and Benny were working together and the siblings. I didn't know about that at that point. Cause Jess asked me, like, do you have anything? Like, are you working? I'm like, yeah, we're cool, but there's no name. Like, there's nothing, there's no name or anything. I didn't want to, you know, expose myself just in case like they actually were. So when I found out that they were pitching for me, and I guess Jess actually was considering it, cause to me, Jess was saying that they, you know, I'm not going to go up. I'm an asset to your game. You know, Marty went, you know, full fledged, like, you know, advocating for me. And Kevin was like, no, you shouldn't. And then JC Lynn also was like, why would you send Helena home? And I had no idea. I was in bed. I was like, wow, my people are going to work for me. Thank you. I appreciate it. But I had no idea that all went down. I was in bed, literally laying in bed. I had no idea that all went down. Because the talk that I had with Jess before, it was like, you know, you should put up Tanisha. Like, that would, if you for sure want to make sure, you know, Moose goes home, you need to put Tanisha. Like, it makes sense. Why, like, they're going to have the votes to stay. So why not? It makes no sense to put me up. I'm like, I will go home. Like, it just, or why would you even want, like, upset me? I think, I know Tanisha did share, like, I'm not going to get upset. Yeah, because I never shared or showed like my emotions or anything like that. I really kept it inside. But yeah, of course I would have been pissed off. I wouldn't obviously, you know, been like, you know, raging or anything to Jess, but I would have been pissed off and I would have, you know, said something because they didn't know about our personal relationship or sorry, our game relationship that I had with Jess. They just thought it was just nothing. So they didn't really know. And so I thought Jess and I, you know, she, no way she put me up. No way they would put me up. And when they did consider that, I was shocked. I was like, wow, they actually were going to do that. But they covered their bases very well. When I confronted them and asked them, they're like, there was no way I was going to put you up. I knew, like, you know, game wise, it wouldn't be great for me. But for Jess's game, it would have been the smarter decision to put me up. It definitely would have. They should have put me up, mm-hmm. but they didn't. Cause I worked on that relationship so much. I really did that. It was not a good game move for them to not put me up.
Yeah. So, so you don't go up, Tanisha goes up. But something I was curious about overall, you know, it's, you know, we're heading into, this is like week four now. You've got a lot of good individual relationships. But in particular now, you know, especially with the idea that you might now, turn on Tanisha and therefore turn on the Mandems, which was never really, I think, your plan A to begin with. Did you have, like, what was your idea for an end game strategy? What was your idea for like at some point you're probably going to have to transition from, you know, working individually to some kind of group, at least for like the mid portion of the game. Mm-hmm. What was your plan for that?
So my plan for that was to sadly rely on my personal relationships. So thinking that of, okay, if I do cut Tanisha, this is now going to, obviously that's all going to end. And how am I going to rebuild this? But if I painted it in the light of, I had no option, but to, you know, I was found out that, you know, they lied to me and they put me up, that I can rebuild my personal relationship. So at the point, as much as I thought, yes, I'd have rely on a, you know, a larger, alliance, that really wasn't working out for me, because cutting Tanisha, if I was going to do that at that point, I don't think I was going to be able to rebuild a bigger life, because I was going to upset so many people. So I was taking the risk of just relying on my own, like, individual relationships and having my own individual little alliances that I had. So that was, I was weighing out. I didn't think, though, to be honest, I'd have a big alliance again after the Mandems. I was like, there's no way, because I know Tanisha is loved by everybody in this house, that I'm gonna be able to align with, you know, a large group of people at this point. Like, I'm just gonna, it's a risk I'm going to take. Like, is it gonna be worth it? Like, at that point, I just knew, like, okay, if I can't do this, like, it is what it is. Like, I just know I'm not going to either go forward in the game with the alliance. If I keep Tanisha, there's a chance if I get rid of her, I can just, you know, rely on my individual relationships and I can get further. So I actually didn't think I'd, you know, rely on a big alliance in the middle of the game. So I thought it was just going to be solely on my personal individual ones. So I took that risk. And yeah, that's why I was like, no, I'll just allow my personal relationships rather than a big alliance. It's just clearly all the big alliances are not working out in this game. And I was like, there's no point of big alliances in this, you know, like this season, our house guest season. I'm like, it's not working out. And I'm like, it's just not going to work out. I'd rather just focus on the individual relationship. That's why I'm like, no, I'll take this risk.
Yeah, well, so this is when Kevin pitches what will become the Crash Test Dummies to Josh. It was a great night of feeds because it sort of like started with Kevin giving like this big soliloquy on like weapons and like what's the best way, and then he goes down and you're pretending to rap his fake injury and you're talking game, and then Josh comes in. I don't know, have you seen this scene on the episodes at all? Have you seen this clip?
I haven't seen this scene, but I remember it though. I remember the pantry.
That's when he pitches the crash test dummies to Josh. Josh walks in, you leave. And then they sit on the counter and Kevin just looks over at Josh and gives him the biggest like grin, just like and he's like, so what would you tell me if I told you that there was a way to get Tanisha out without you having to vote against Tanisha? And Josh was like, I'm listening. It's great. So he makes this pitch to Josh. Josh talks to you about it. He talks to you about it. And you guys are eventually going to lock in and create the name. I think the name comes next week. But this is now the plan. The plan is for Josh to maintain his cover by voting to keep Tanisha, while you kind of have to expose yourself a little bit. Did you consider like, what if I was the one to vote the other way and Josh can flip? Or did you feel like the better option was to kind of go in on Jason, Gino and Marty and stuff?
I felt the better option would be for me to go in with Jason, Gino, because I had a strong relationship with Jace, like game wise in that sense. I established something obviously with her from the beginning. So I'm like, it'd be more easier in that sense with Josh. He felt closer, obviously, with Betty. And Betty is, you know, really close with Tanisha in that sense. It just didn't make sense. I'm like, it had to be me. And I knew that. Just personally, though, it was just so touring because I just knew that, like, my personal relationships were just going to all break. And I was going to get a lot of heat. I'm like, you know, I got to take one for the team and it's okay. And it just, the way that the game was kind of like, game talk was all kind of set up, it just made sense that I had more of it in with JC Lynn than Josh had with JC Lynn. So obviously they had that honey bunch alliance, but that was obviously blown up too. And that was really nothing anyways. And yeah, so I was more, had more of it in with Marty and JC Lynn than Josh had. So it just made sense. And I'm like, okay, yeah, it has to be me. And that sense too, at least I'm kind of like, I'm playing a little bit. People can kind of see, you know, like I'm making a move. I'm not just, you know, so behind the scenes and so wishy-washy, but I just knew I was going to take a lot of heat for it. And I'm like, okay, it's fine. I can do it. And it just game-wise, it just made sense.
Yes. So taking the heat for it is big, right? Because it does damage some relationships moving forward. You are able to kind of get back to an okay place by the end of these relationships, especially with the play you make regarding the secret veto, which we'll get to. But I think this is also the start of like, you know, when it comes to the jury perception of you, the start of some like maybe bitter feelings a little bit like we don't like how you did this. Was that on your mind? Like, did you think about like, okay, how can I do this and keep them feeling good about me and my game?
I did think about it, but it was kind of difficult how things kind of played out and the dynamic of everyone's relationships. I kind of took more of the heat for things, opposed to like Josh and Kevin. Like no one would ever get mad at them for anything, any type of thing. I'd always
well,
get
eventually they got mad at Josh.
Eventually, definitely. But it was, I was thinking, you know what, like, I don't know. I was kind of a little naive to think that by the time we get to jury, like, they'll understand, like, it was a game move. Like, they'll see that, like, I'll be able to, you know, if I make it a final two spot, like, in my final speech, like, I'll convey everything and, like, they'll understand, they'll get it. I'll be able to expose myself and expose my game. So I was thinking jury management, but I wasn't as much as I should have, though. Like, I definitely didn't have jury management like Kevin did. Kevin was always like, he's always thinking the next step ahead for sure. But I was thinking a step ahead. He was thinking two steps ahead. So in that sense, my jury management was definitely, it was horrible. It was horrible because if I was in that final two spot, I sitting next to Kevin, Kevin would have won next to me. And without a doubt, and definitely deserved, but definitely deserved. So with that, it was just, my jury management, I did not think of it as much as I should have. I was like, you know, thinking game, but I'm not thinking long-term game outside of this, you know, jury, like that definitely does matter. That kind of was not my best.
It happens.
It does. There's so much going on, you know, like, and even I guess I'm seeing like some of the clips of the portraying the show and stuff, and lots of like my talk is all cut out. Like, I'm just sitting there being like, no, definitely that's something to think about. Or like certain conversations, I'm like, what about me talking? Or like, hey, I told Kevin that. Or like, that was me and Kevin together. Like, it's more like, you know, even I think my own personal house guests, they think that, you know, Kevin is just this master strategic resolve. Kevin. Yes, Kevin is. Kevin definitely is. Don't get me wrong. But him and I were a partnership and I never advocated for myself. I never showed my game. And even in jury, I didn't expose myself either. I wanted to obviously highlight Kevin. So in that sense, I did really poor for myself. I should have advocated for myself a little bit better. But you know what? Kevin deserves all of it though, because he's such an amazing player. So I'm not mad about it. But yeah, no, if I were ever play this game again, jury management definitely matters. And I would definitely hear more about it.
So, it's double eviction, safety chain. Moose wins the first bit, which is bad news for you because you just betrayed, granted you didn't betray Moose, but, you betrayed, all of the people that Moose is close to. He gives it to Herman, who gives it to Josh, who gives it to Betty, who's, none of these people are giving it to you. Summer gives it to Kevin. Do you feel like how, when she gives it to Kevin, are you thinking he's going to give it to me? Or are you thinking he might not give it to me?
Well, I knew with Summer, it was going to be 50-50. And then she actually ended up sharing that with me. She's like, I was deciding between you and Kevin, but obviously I was upset you sent Tanisha home. So it's going to go to Kevin. And I had a feeling it would have been like that. She had that decision between him and I, and then with Kevin in that moment, I was like, oh my goodness, I'm being played. This man is playing me. I'm done with him. Like, I can't. I was so, I was like, oh, I cannot. And then when Marty said my name, because I was like, that's it. I'm going up. He took that risk. And obviously Kevin explained to me. He's like, I knew Marty would save. I knew how close, you know, your guys' relationship was built. And I took a gamble. Like, let's have fun. Let's play a game. Let's see what happens. And I was like, Kev, like in that moment, I hated you, but like, it was a good gamble. Like, you know, it's all good. It's fine. So yeah, like even that, it was that 1 second. Yes, I did think, you know, this man's playing me. But once I, you know, found out what's happening in his mind, and it made sense. It definitely did.
Yeah.
Cause it would have exposed us even more, because Herman was already onto us. So and me and Kevin don't talk. People don't think we have a relationship. And he saves me. And that makes no sense. Like, he would have pissed off Marty. He already pissed off JC Lynn and Gina. Like, it just all would have like went crumbling. This made the most sense. And even if, let's say, I did go up, it was, if Jess didn't win, my chances of staying, I feel like, would be quite high. If Jess didn't win. So if Jess won, obviously then that'd be like, oh, I don't know if I would have stayed or not, but Jess would have gone home regardless, unfortunately.
Yes, well, there is an attempt here at flipping the vote. And it seems like it was very close to working, except Betty sort of backed out at the last minute. Tell me about this attempted flip here.
Yeah, so I guess Josh started it from what I've heard. And Marty and Kevin were sitting on the couch Josh pulls them in, and then I get pulled in, and it's a whole conversation of what's happening. Of, you know, should we send Gino home? Is there a time to send Gino home? And I'm just, I think I put my hands up. I'm like, I've just made a big hard decision. Like I'm not doing it. Like I'm not doing this. Or something. I said something along those lines of like, I'm not making the call. I think I said something like that. And then everyone's like, should we do it? Should we not? And then me and Kevin put our thumbs up. Like, let's do it then. Like, all right, we're all in it. Kevin and I do it. And then I asked Betty, I'm like, Betty, what are you going to do? Like, she's not saying anything like, okay, let's do it. We should do it. She's just like hearing everybody else out. So I'm like, are you actually, is this a setup? Like, why are you not saying I'm in? Let's do it. I want to do this. If Betty were to say that, if she would have said that, sorry, I'd be like, okay, like, let's do it then. But no one was on the same page. It was kind of like very frantic. Marty was just flustered and he was like, okay, should we do it then? I guess we're doing it. But we came out, I knew that it wasn't going to happen because Betty didn't say, yes, I'm doing this. Let's do this. She was not secure. Josh was like, okay, we're doing it. Marty would have done anything I said. Betty did not secure herself in doing it. When we sat down, I could see across, I was sitting next to Marty, across from me, I see Betty, Josh, and Kevin. Betty and Josh are talking and she's asking and she's like, no, no. Josh is like, okay, fine, no. Tells Kevin no. I look at Kevin first and first he goes, yes. And I'm like, sure. I'm like, okay. And then he's like, no. I'm like, okay, cool. I knew it was going to happen anyways. And then Marty asked me and Marty asked, I go, no, Marty. I don't look at him, but I just say, no, Marty. This man has difficult hearing, obviously doesn't hear me well. And I'm thinking, okay, it's everyone's a no, it's fine. And I know like, I was just very frustrated. Everyone's upset at me because I sent Tanisha home and I'm just like, ugh, I'm blood on my hat. I'm just upset and pissed off at the house. So I'm like, you know what? Screw this. I'm going to do a rogue folk. I love Gino as a person. I don't want him to go home, but it's not going to happen anyways. But might as well just start some drama. Like, why not? Just be a rogue vote. Like, just a little, like, you know, screw you to the house. Like, voting does matter. And, like, I have a power in votes. And find out Marty voted. I'm like, he caused so much drama over. He took away from my shine that I wanted to have this one rogue vote. Ended up being two rogue votes, but not really because Marty came clean. So in that moment, we knew it wasn't going to happen. I could see across the couch that it was a no. They're all saying no. When Marty asked me, I told him no. He didn't hear me. He would have voted no, but he didn't know. He just was so flustered in Expedia. So he came out, he was thinking it's going to happen. So, but he had no idea.
Well, were you worried that like that a rogue vote would just shine a light on the attempted flip that like with investigation that with like, who's this rogue vote that then, you know, with Betty there, like, you know, that something could come out?
No, because I there was always speculation like the last rogue vote that happened, the Stephanie week. So it's like, you know what? It's just going to be like, maybe it's, I could paint it on Moose and Herman. Like that was kind of the speculation before anyways. So if it was just a single rogue vote, I thought no one will look in my direction. And from there, we all said no. I know Marty and Kevin will trust me. Josh will trust me too. Betty, if she thinks whatever, Josh will like, you know, change her mind. So with the two rogue votes, so that definitely did cause more of an issue. But the single rogue vote, I didn't think anything of it. I didn't think anyone would highlight anything of what happened in the Expedia room. It'd be, you know, you wouldn't look twice at mm-hmm. me for sure. Cause I would have those personal relationships that I had. I'd be like, no, of course I didn't. And when I did obviously do it and it caused so much drama to Kevin, I had to, sorry, grass is getting cut. I had to, you know, I was like, am I gonna tell Kevin I did that? Like, it's caused a lot of drama now. Like, oh no. And I wasn't gonna tell him. Obviously, I'd tell him everything. And I was like, Kev, I did something. He's like, why? He's like, it was you. I was like, it was me. He's like, I love it. Oh my goodness. I was like, but I'm like, yeah, I love it too. But if Marty didn't do it, I'm like, then he confessed to it. And it was the whole thing. And now it's just, you know, it's come out, obviously, two people in Expedia, but I really tried to, you know, act like it wasn't me. But I know Summer obviously caught on to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Summer and Herman also thought it was you.
They did. Yeah.
But there's this, yeah, this big investigation and this back and forth. And what is the plan for damage control? Because Marty wins the next HOH and he's saying like, I don't even remember what happened. I just remember being pulled into the room, and then people were trying to get me to vote out Gino and betray him for the sixth time, but I'd only betrayed him five times, and that means not a sixth time. And so, what do you do here?
I instantly go into damage control, and I have to think, you know what? I know that Marty does not trust Betty. I have to put Betty under the bus. I have to. Gino knows that Betty, you know, has, you know, pitched their name or whatever before. I have to throw Betty under the bus, and I have to create fake memories for Marty. So I know he's flustered. I know he trusts me. So I go to Marty and I'm like, yeah, it was Betty. It was all Betty. And, I just pretty much had to keep pitching that. And I just had to keep ensuring, no, we didn't put our thumbs up. Like, it was Betty. Betty put her thumbs up. And just, I created fake memories for Marty. And because he was so flustered and he was just so hurt that he betrayed Gino again. I just had to keep pitching that and keep telling him, like, there's no, me and Kevin, like, are you kidding? We said no. And I just full on damage control, full on just creating fake memories for this man. I feel horrible for it, but had no other choice but to throw Betty under the bus. And even when it came to Gino, I felt it was Betty. Like, I had no other choice because the whole Expedia, you know, terrible incident that happened, it was exposed. And the person that, you know, who didn't have any ties really from what I knew of, was Betty. So it made sense. I had to throw Betty under the bus. I had to blame her for everything. That's why, you know, JC Lynn, I was like, yeah, how can she just, you know, lie like that? Like, I cannot believe it. It was a bigger plan. Maybe she, you know, it was all calculated, the whole thing. But my damage control, was to throw Betty under the bus and, take the light off me, and to know that, you know, I trust you guys. You guys trust me. I would never do that. Pull out that whole, you know, shenanigans, and just Betty under the bus. That was my full plan.
Yeah. Well then, Gino misspells nominize, and Kevin wins the veto, which provides an opportunity. And there was a little bit of a, like a weird, back and forth where you had a conversation with Marty, prior to the veto, I believe, where you hadn't even pushed very hard, and he just kind of volunteered like, yeah, maybe I'd put up Herman if the veto was won. But then after Kevin won, you were like, so Herman? And he was like, no, never. Were you as confused as I was?
I was so confused. I was like, I don't understand. Like, how did you, like, why? Like, no. And it was kind of like a good cop, bad cop type of situation where it's just like, no, this cannot happen. Like, hello. You, like, no.
And then afterward, he was like, why is Helena pushing for Herman so much? I was like, she didn't even push. Like, you just said to her. And then she was confused afterward.
Exactly. At first, I was like, I mentioned him because I knew Marty's the type of person that you can't tell him what to do. Like, you can't just like, do this because he's, you know, he's old school mentality. He's older, whatever, all of that. So it's like, I'm not going to tell him. But at a point, he mentioned it. He knew, like, I would, before I planted seeds about Herman. So he, when he said it, I was like, okay, he's on the same page. He knows, like, you know, Herman's one of my, like, you know, people I'd go after. So when he mentioned it afterwards, he switched up on me. I was like, are you kidding me? Like, I thought we're on the same page here. Like, why? And I think also with Marty, though, because I kept such a distance with him, like, game-wise, I'd always, like, check in type of thing, but I really kept a distance, and he kind of got a little insecure, where him and I really wouldn't talk much, and he needed that reassurance all the time, and I didn't give that always to him. But when I did, obviously, I came on really hard, and I'd put it, laid it really thick, and be like, Marty, I got you, like, you know, MSF, like, I got you, don't worry about it, like, this is game, I'm looking out for you, we can't be seen talking to each other, we can't hang out, we can't talk game, like, trust me. So then, you know, I'd reel him back in, but in those moments of obviously not talking or anything like that, he became insecure of like, why is she pitching so hard for Herman? Like, that makes no sense. But he was on a revenge week that week, and I was like, you're doing Gino's dirty work.
Revenge.
Revenge. That's all he wanted. He was thinking, I'm like, no, you're not using your head. Like, I can't get through to you. Like, why does Gino have so much power over you? Like, I need to learn French. I know he'd feel more comfortable if I spoke French, but I didn't. And I'm just like, it's obviously a lot for Marty. Like, he was just feeling so much. And I felt horrible, but I knew that, like, it was just his personal and game was getting all mixed up. But I'm like, no, think game. You're ruining my game in this moment. Like, it can't be mixed. So,
yeah. Well, you do eventually get through to him. Herman ends up on the block. You have a situation now where Jason, Gino, they feel burned by Kevin because of the safety chain. They feel like they agreed to the Herman plan because they weren't sure they can trust Herman, but they also don't know that they can trust you or Kevin at this point. And Jace kind of decides to test you a little bit. She's like, I've been, I feel like a lot of people have final twos with Marty. Do you have final two with Marty? And you were like, no.
Yeah.
And she's like, I know you have a final two with Marty, Helena. And she's like, she tells Gino, she's like, she's lying to me. She's playing me. Wasn't great.
I had to play that down. I really did. I had to, like, you know, I didn't use the veto because I had to, you know, I owed Marty, like, da da da. Like, I really pumped that up and to make people believe that. And because Marty was just exposing himself all the time, like, he was always talking out loud. Oh, wait, I'm like, who would tell anybody about their final two? Like, does that make sense to you? No, it doesn't. And, like, I really pumped that up and I really just had to, you know, go in and, you know, strategically, like, talk the talk and, you know, make her believe. I'm like, there's no way. I'm like, you're my number one in this game. Like, JC Lynn, like, no, I try, like, all of that. And to say, like, she obviously didn't fully believe me, let's be real. But Marty was just kind of blabbing his mouth everywhere. So I use that to my advantage as well. Like, I had to, any angle, anything I could twist, I would. It's a game and I had to. And so, yeah, no, that was definitely something that had to be done.
Yes. Well, Herman goes up. Betty ends up proposing a deal with Jace and Gino, which they take. Jace, Gino, Josh, and Betty now have an alliance. And then Gino wins the HOH, and he's looking to backdoor Marty. He tells you it's Moose and Summer, and he does not tell you about the backdoor Marty plan. Of course, you and Kevin eventually are going to find out via Josh, spilling the tea to Kevin, if I can find that clip. Oh, there it is.
So I'm spilling the tea to Kevin.
And then you, of course, are going to win this veto, which, of course, is huge. This is when you say,
me, Helena, regular Schmeidler, basic men. I did this. I hold something so special.
Oh my goodness.
Regular schmegular
me.
Wait, hold on, I want to get a breakdown of this clip actually. So
me, Helena, regular schmegular, basic mid.
I did this.
Oh my goodness. So cringe.
Just basic mid, is that an additional more regular schmegular? What's the difference between regular schmegular and basic mid?
Regular schmegular is just, you know, just regular. Mid is just, you know, you're just mid always. You're just, you know, that midline. Basic, you know, you like your Starbucks chai lattes, nothing fancy. There's no espresso shot. You're just basic, you know? But I guess, I'm just really that regular girl that I'm like, I can't believe I did this. I can't believe I'm here. I can't believe I'm playing this game. I was just so overwhelmed with emotions that I'm just like, I think, I'm just like, I can't believe I'm here. I'm just so, at that moment, I think I'm not all that, but I'm just so basic. I'm just so regular. Like, you see me down the street, you wouldn't look twice. Like, you're just, it is like, I can't believe I'm doing this. I'm winning these comps. I'm doing this. Like, even I've done every sport, you name it. Like, I'm from horseback riding to baseball, to soccer, to rugby. I've done every sport. To say I'm good at it, no, obviously not. But it was always just, I was always basic mid at it. I was never like elite level at anything. I've tried everything. I've done everything. Like I said, sports wise, activities, my mom put me in everything, but I was always just mid. I was never excelling at anything. Like, you know, even like grade wise type of thing. Like, you know, I did good in school, but I was never like 90%, you know, just above average. I was always like, you're good. So I'm like, I can't believe I'm doing this. Like, I finally am, you know, I'm winning a comp. Like, I did it. It just, I'm holding something special. Like, oh my goodness, I'm above mid. I'm above basic average. Like, That's amazing.
Of course, you find out that the plan is to backdoor Marty. So obviously, and even before you knew that, you were not thinking that you would want to use the veto. So you don't want to use the veto, but now you know that they would like for you to use the veto because they want to backdoor Marty. So you and Kevin have to really like sort of, you know, grease the wheel a little bit, like ease it in a little, like, hey, you know, it's not a good idea to use the veto. It's you wouldn't want to backdoor Marty anyway, which comes in handy because Jace also gets a veto and could have invalidated your first win in the game by just using it anyway.
I know. Oh, when I found that out, I was like, wow, I cannot believe it. Like, I was shocked. I was like, oh my goodness. But I knew though, when I spoke to Gino, I did throw it out there. I'm like, so like, you know, I thought about backdooring Marty. Like, what are you thinking? Like, to throw it out there. And he didn't really take it either. And after him and I discussed, like, he's like, I was too scared to say, like, I want to backdoor Marty to you because I thought you would have gone back to Marty and told him. And even that I was thinking, like, would I have gone back to Marty and told him? I think I may have, because then I really could have broke that bond between Marty and Gino and Marty would have believed me. But then there's a chance though, Marty wouldn't have believed me and he would have gone to Gino and been like, hey, Helena told me this. That was a risk I wasn't willing to take because I knew Marty couldn't keep a secret. But I gave that bait to Gino and he didn't take it. He was too scared to say anything, to be like, yeah, I want to backdoor Marty. It was always like, you know, Marty is, you know, annoying all of us. Like he is, you know, getting a little messy, but like eventually we will have to, you know, get rid of him, but let's take it to the five and see what happens. So in that sense, Gino really didn't give me much when I kind of threw it out there. So I was like, okay, good. Like I hold that power and I'm not going to use it. At least he knows that I kind of know of it. And from there, it doesn't make sense. Like game wise, it didn't make sense for me. So why would I use it? And if that did cause issues between him and us, like at least he could see that, no, like I'm really loyal to the five, like understand, like, you know, Marty's loyal to the five, like you're going to be safe. Like if I pumped that up, I thought, you know, I'd be good with Gino and Jace as well. And they could see it from that point of view. And I think, you know, me sharing that, I think they also had that aha moment of, no, yeah, it is right. Like Marty is a big target in this game. To get rid of him now, it doesn't make sense for, you know, their game as well. It didn't make sense really. So I'm glad that, you know, it worked out in that way. But yeah, no, I definitely had to twist that as well.
Yeah, no, and it's a good thing that you didn't push too hard on Marty because Jace had the secret veto. Yeah. When Marty wins HOH next week, she's immediately going to be able to reveal to him, well, just in case anybody tries to tell you that we were going to backdoor you, I had the secret veto. So clearly we never intended to backdoor you, because who would want to backdoor you and then win a secret veto and change their mind? That makes no sense. Exactly. Yeah. Very, very ironclad argument there. You do. Marty wins this HOH and it's again, it's revenge. Betty might have to go this time because Kevin says this in the episode.
Ideally, we want Gino out of the house, but that's virtually impossible with Marty.
And some gummy bears have something to say about that. You think it might have to be Betty. I talked to Kevin and said, like, if Betty and Josh had remained on the block, like, you know, would you have considered taking Josh out at this point? Which I think you probably would have considered it. But doesn't matter because Betty's going to win the veto. You do, at one point in this week on day 50, you talk to the camera, you say, am I sharing too much with Kevin? Like, you know, like, well, whatever at this point.
Yeah, I did have that moment because I think being in the house for so long, like people don't understand the paranoia that kicks in and just your feelings, your highs, your lows, your low. And I was like, I just had those moments of like, wow, like this game is so hard. Okay, I'm doing that. We're, you know, Kevin and I are partners. Everything we're doing together. We're, you know, feeding off of each other back and forth. But maybe like at that moment, I also think, my game is not seen at all. And that moment also, I think my journey management, that where it clicks in, I'm like, wow, like I tell Kevin everything and he can use that to his advantage. And I'm like, and to say like, that's not best in my game, really. But at this point, I've already done it. How can I stop now? I'm like, it is what it is. I think all those things start clicking in my head, which I didn't really realize before. I don't know if I didn't realize. I didn't really highlight to my it is what it is. And just, you know, you think a bunch of things as much as you trust a person. Of course, I was like, I'm having this, you know, second of like, wow, I really haven't looked after myself. Like, I've really, oh, it's always been me and Kevin. Like, what about me? Like, I didn't think like that, but I'm like, it's fine. Like, it's a game. And I knew I could not play this game without Kevin. Like, he was a yin to my yang, vice versa. So everything that we did was together. And so I'm like, no, I'm doing this with him. So it's fine if it is what it is.
Well, with Betty winning the veto, Summer saved by Canada, Marty has to nominate somebody from the five. And he's thinking of Kevin, because he caught Kevin in a conversation with Josh. He says to the cameras that he thinks Kevin and Josh might be working together. He says to the cameras, my gut is telling me Kevin will flip this vote if he's not on the block. He even says to the cameras that he's suspicious that you might be working with Josh as well. And so it doesn't look very good, in terms of keeping either you or Kevin off the block, but particularly Kevin. So you and Kevin have to come up with a plan of action here. Like, you got to find some way to keep the two of you off the block, and ideally get Jace up, because it felt like that time that Jace was the other option, right? So, yes. So, walk me through the plan here.
Yes. So originally, before even Marty won HOH, or was it the POV? Marty said that he's going to, no, so I think the POV, I think it was, or the HOH, I forget. But he was like, I'm going to put Josh Betty up for revenge. Yeah. And then from there, my replacement will be Summer. And then if it's Summer, if it can't be Summer, that'll be JC Lynn. And I'm just thinking, I'm like, I'm going to tell them that. I go, yeah, this is before he even won HOH. I told Marty, I go, Marty, why are you going to tell people who your replacement is? That makes no sense. You cannot do that. Because I already told Summer. I'm like, what? I cannot with you. I was so frustrated. I think we're in the hot tub, and I'm gonna go, Marty, why did you do that? Like, you have, like, we don't even know, like, who's won POV yet. Like, you, why would you tell Summer she's a replacement nom when, what if the noms are gonna stay the same? Like, that makes no sense. Like, but you did it. Like, I don't, okay, I guess. And then he's like, yeah, if it's not gonna be Summer, then it's me, JC Lynn. I'm gonna tell her, I'm gonna tell Gino, that's gonna be, you know, it's gonna be JC Lynn. I'm like, why would you do that? Like, do not do that. But if you've already done it, I can't do anything about that. Whatever, it's your choice. So by the time now, you know, Betty took herself off the block, I'm thinking, okay, you know what? Ideally, I don't want it to be Kevin. I don't want it to be me. JC Lynn is the best option. And I know that Marty doesn't really fully trust JC Lynn. JC Lynn, you know, can't really stand Marty, you know, game-wise type of thing. Let's pump this up. But the allegiance that Marty has to Gino is now coming into effect. It's seeping on through, and Marty's feeling that Gino is going to be upset at him if he puts JC Lynn up. And I'm just like, are you kidding me? Like, you cannot play this game for Gino at this point. Like, you're going to be giving Gino $100,000. Your allegiance is to Gino. That's fine, but not to JC Lynn. They're two separate people. They're two separate games. Like, you need to put JC Lynn up. And from there, we could see that there's some fight back. Me and Kevin, we think, okay, how are we going to pitch this to Marty without telling him it has to be done? It can't be you. So with that, we're kind of, you know, talking to the five individually and letting them know that I'm telling JC Lynn and Gino that, yeah, Kevin should be an option because they're really pitching for Kevin. And I'm like agreeing with them, like, yeah, no, definitely does make sense. Like, I see it. You know, we saved Marty, me and JC Lynn. Like, well, obviously that, not what I wanted. I just wanted to see what they would say so I could go back and tell Marty, get the information. Kevin was doing the same thing. He would say the exact same thing to them. And then we'd go back, share information, let Marty know, hey, this is what's being said. This is what's being done. And kind of just really like manipulate his mind in a way and get him to know that, no, they're going to flip. Like, trust me, Josh, Gino, Betty, and JC Lynn, they're all working together. They're going to flip and Kevin's going to go home and put Kevin up. And I think for a moment he was thinking about putting me up. He's like, I would never do that if you wouldn't want me to. And I was like, yeah, no, like, please don't do that. So I know I was always out of the option at that point. But for Kevin, I'm like, there's a chance that could be flipped. Like, would you take that chance? Like, Kevin's a number. We've always been there for you. Like, pulling up Marty's heart was kind of the plan, really, because we knew how big his heart was. So just kept pumping that up and creating that paranoia for him. So I'd plant seeds and let him know, yeah, well, did you see that Gino and Josh, like, they're working out together. Like, they're working together. Do you know that? Betty and JC Lynn are eating breakfast. When do they ever eat breakfast? Like, they're working together. Look, like, Marty, how do you not see it? Like, creating these little, you know, things for him. And it would kind of, you know, flipping his head, and he realized. But the gummy bears really came to save the day. Honestly, it was, can't say it was me or Kev. It was the gummy bears. It was all the gummy bears.
Yes. Well, so yeah, because Kevin gets a task to convince everyone he's self-evicting. How were you feeling in that moment?
I was so confused. I was in and out of DR that day. And I wasn't there initially for when it happened. So people are, JC Lynn thinks I'm in on it. I think someone else thought, oh, you're in on it. I'm like, in on what? What are you guys talking about? Like, Kevin's going to go home self-evicting. I was like, you're lying. No way this is happening. And then when I talked to Josh, Josh is crying. He starts crying. He's like, he's doing it for us. Like, I'm like, I believe it then. I'm like, oh my goodness. Like, he really is. Like, no way. Josh is like, I'm going to self-evict them before he does. And I'm like, what is going on, people? I was gone for 5 minutes. And the house was turned upside down. Then Kevin's like, I'm having individual talks with everybody. And I was like, is everyone joking? Like, Betty's getting emotional. I'm like, what? I talked to Kev. He's like, yeah. He even like pulled on my heartstrings. Like, there were certain things that him and I shared about, like personally. And he brings that up. And like, he's like, I'm like, no way. He can't be lying then. He's bringing this up. Like, he really went, the lie was deep, because he brought up stuff that, like, I'm like, wow, he's for real then. And then I was joking around. I'm like, no, Kev, like, you know, you're just joking. Like, you're not actually going to go. And then that's when I like dropped and like held his leg like a little kid. I was like, no, you're not going. And people twisted that, like, I'm dropping at a white man's knees. No, I wasn't. It was a joke. First of all, get a life. But yeah, anyways, it was just like, no, Kev, you're just joking. Cause he started laughing. I started laughing a little bit too. I'm like, but then he started crying a little bit. I'm like, oh, and he brought up like our personal stuff. And I was like, no, he's for real. Like, I can't, no, I still couldn't believe it. And then everybody else was like, no, he's lying. Me and Josh were the only ones to believe it at that point. And then when the door started opening, and I was like, oh, it is real. Like, I can't play this game anymore. Oh my goodness. What am I going to do? My game's out the window. And then the moment it shut, he's like, I got you. I was like, I can't stand you. You're cut. You're done to me. Like, wow, you went low. You went below the belt. Like, the tactics he used, like, Kevin is so smart. He even in that challenge by Marsha the Moose, this man used personal things to make us believe he was being evicted. Like, that's how sick he is. The challenge, not even like anything real. Like, that's how deep he went. So yes, of course I believed it.
It was tricky too, because after he told Marty, Marty goes to the cameras and he's like, well, that made my decision even easier. It's like he's definitely gonna put Kevin up now. But following morning, he's got a plan. He's a man with some gummy bears. Yes. How do you react to this?
Shocked. I thought it was a joke. I really did. I was like, no way this is happening. It's a joke. Like, really? And then to say, you know, what's actually happening, and he, you know, lets Gino know, Gino, you can be put in or not, it's up to you. And Gino, being the great guy that he is, taking one for the team, he's like, I don't want to seem slimy and not put myself in. To, you know, if we're going to be loyal then to each other, like, I have to put myself in. Dumb mistake. Big mistake, Gino. I would have never done that. Never. But he did, because he's such a good guy. That's Canada knows how such what a good guy he is. He does. And picked out, he got the red gummy bear. It could not have worked out as perfect as it did. It was shocking. I thought it was a joke at first. Now, even when we were picking, I was like, I was laughing. I was like, when I get nervous, I laugh. And just general, like, I was like, this is a joke. I'm laughing. We're like, no, this is actually real. And afterwards, we picked the gummies. I thought then Marty would have said, okay, yeah, you know, this is a team building exercise. Like, we're all in it. And then he does it. And he's like, okay, you know, next week, if I have to go on the block, I'll go on the block. And he wants to take a group picture because Marty's all about the cameras. He's like, the five. We're like, yeah, the five. Me and Kevin and Slide are jumping for joy. Mm. Like, how could you make this up? You can't.
Yeah. So Gino goes up. This is huge. You do. So there is a little bit of stuff here, though, where Jace is starting to have conversations with Betty. Betty's talking with Jace about like maybe they can work together, and the both of their number ones are on the block. Jace is really trying to hammer home that like Helena's working with Marty. She didn't use the veto. She's got a secret final two with him. Did you know about that? And Summer and Betty at this point are like, screw Helena. Like, she's going up on the block if we win next week. It's not looking great there. And I think you sort of, you're starting to hear that this is the case. Josh is telling you that they're pissed at you. And Jace is saying like, Betty's trying to work with me. And so you and Kevin start talking about like, should we take out Chino or should we maybe take out Josh? And you kind of consider that briefly. But ultimately decide, it's gotta be Gino.
Yeah, because the beginning, when we pulled Josh in with the Crashers Dummies, Kevin and I said, we have to take Josh out either at 7 or 5. Mm-hmm. That was kind of like, we knew that Josh is a strong player. That has to be done. And that point, obviously, it didn't happen. But we said that, though. I said, like, either at 5 or 7, Josh has to be cut. So I knew with all this talk, obviously, I've already upset Betty. Summer and I were trying to rebuild, but I've upset her. It's easier for me to keep Gino. It would be easier in that sense. I would have the loyalty of, you know, Marty still, Gino and Jace. But then game-wise, though, I know I'm good with Josh. Gino, he wins comps. It just, to make a move right now, it makes, game-wise, it makes sense for me to send Gino home, but it's quite difficult, you know, because sending Josh home would be good too, but is it too soon to send Josh home right now? And kind of weighing out the options. I just, you know, I'd have to cut that. I'd have to cut Josh. Cut Gino, because Gino is catching on to certain things. I know he knows about me and Marty, the final two, as much as I'm denying it. Really kind of deny it for so long and I keep covering my tracks. And he is like the closest thing to Marty. So he's clocked us as well. I'm like, Gino, you got to go. Like at that point, love you as a person, great guy, but you know too much. You've caught on to too much at this point. Like, I can't, how much damage control one can do? Like, my personal game, like, I'd rather take the risk of keeping Josh, you know, longer in this game. And we're still working together. From what I knew, that he is still loyal. So I'd rather just take that risk and send Gino home. Because at that point, it's kind of taking your risk of, do I stay with this big alliance? You know what I mean? With the five? Or do I rely on my personal relationships? Yet again, I was at that point too. And I'm like, you know what? I'm going to take the risk of relying on my personal relationships rather than, you know, a big alliance. Because big alliances just don't work. They're not working out for me. It's not going to happen for my gameplay and everything like that. I'd rather just risk it and cut Gino because he's just clocking everything. So yeah, that decision was personally hard, but game-wise, it was the best thing to do.
Yes, and you also have to deal with Summer and Betty now. That's you have to get them to be against Jace, and so you come up with an idea about the secret veto.
Yes. So with that, to build, you know, bring them in more game wise to share this information with them. I'm like, from that they'll trust me more. We'll become closer, and why not? Like, this is something I can use to pin them against JC Lim. When I send Gino home, then from there, she'll be a target for them. Like, why not? And then from there, I tell Summer, and, you know, from them, like, I haven't told Betty yet. Like, do you want to tell her? Should I tell her? Kind of like, you know, toying in emotions and letting her know. She's like, no, it should come from you. I'm like, okay, sure. Like, all right. Like, I'm scared this is going to blow up my game. Like, what do you think? She's like, no, I can't believe it. I'm shocked. And then telling Betty, she's shocked. And that's, you know, building trust. So with that, because I knew that they obviously were upset at me. I knew they didn't trust me. And obviously Josh confirming that solidified, I had to do something big. And this is the big thing to do. And pitting two people against each other, like, why not? It's going to work to my, it's the only thing I have at this point, because I know I have to send Gino home, but I have to get them closer before I do that. If I didn't get Summer and Betty to be closer with me in that moment, if me telling that information blew up in my face, then at that point I would have sent Josh home, because I'm like, oh, okay, at least, you know, look, I saved you, Gino. I could have relied on that. So I did kind of weigh that out. Because if I did tell Betty and Summer and they still were like, no, and they told JC Lynn, at that point, I still could have banked on keeping Gino, sending Josh home, and from there been like, look, yeah, I did do that, but I didn't send you home because this, and I would have flipped it and pinned it on Betty and Summer. That was kind of like my backup plan if it all blew up in my face, but they responded really well to it, and that built trust with them, which was good. And they're kind of like, yeah, you know what, JC Lynn, you know, forget her, cool, and it worked out.
Yes, and it certainly comes in clutch later. There's also a conversation that you have with Jace, where Jace is kind of like questioning, like, you're acting weird. And you're like, I'm not acting weird. And she's like, yes, you are. And you end up saying to Jace, like, look, if Kevin ends up flipping, I'm gonna have to flip too. And Jace is like, excuse me? and she's kind of like for the rest of the night is like, oh my God, they're gonna vote Gino out. This though to me was like it, in terms of like when I talked to Jace as well, like it didn't come off super well to Jace, because it felt like you were just trying to pass the blame off to Kevin. Was that the intention?
Well, to be honest, that day I was having a really low day. So it was just like, I was a bunch of emotions. I'm like, oh my God, I'm sick of this house. And then at one point, how am I going to, like, I was thinking in my head, how am I going to get away with this? With still keeping my relationship with JC Lynn, but I know I'm sending Gino home. And I just knew that when this happens, I know that I'm going to get more, you know, more heat than Kevin. So if I were to kind of blame it more on Kevin, hopefully she'll understand that. Obviously you're going to go with the majority of the house, because it is what, like, you know, in that sense, it's majority. Why would it be the one person to keep Gino home? But even though I know it's a swing vote, it really doesn't make sense. But in that sense, I was trying to, like, you know, put a little bit of blame on Kevin and think that she'd, like, you know, fall for that. But you know, she's a very smart person. Obviously it didn't. And I just thought, let's just see what happens. Maybe she's not that smart, but she is though. And it just, you know, didn't work. But, I tried to see it, like, you know, maybe it would though. I just, you know, try to shoot my shot and see if it worked or not. But obviously I knew deep down you wasn't going to though. I knew she was smart. It was not that she's not dumb. Come on. That was just, you know, elementary school, but I had to try.
All right. Well, you get to the triple eviction after blindsiding Gino, and Josh barely wins over Jace, which is huge. He's gonna nominate Summer, Jace, and Marty. Jace wins the veto though, which means he needs to name a replacement, and it's basically like you or Betty. If he puts Betty up, it kind of exposes the crash test dummies and really exposes Josh. If he puts you up, you might be able to hide the crash test dummies, but it does expose you to some danger that I'm sure you were like, yeah, I don't care if Josh exposes whatever he wants to expose. You had one of my favorite sound clips from you in the game here.
For me, it's great. I love it. Thank you, Josh. Pat on the back, bud. But I think you ruined your own game. I don't know.
No, definitely. I did always question Josh a little bit. Would he ever be able to go against Betty when it came down to it? Like, we, you know, Kevin, I'm like, I don't know. Like, you know, we've taken him out 5-7. Obviously didn't happen. At 5, we got to take him out. Whatever. That point when he didn't put me up at the initial nominations, I was like, okay, he's real. But when Jason took herself off, I go, okay, I'm going up. Like, it makes sense for his game. Hello, I want to do this. Like, if it was vice versa, like, game-wise, duh, put me up. Are you kidding me? And then when he didn't, thank you, Josh. Thank you so much. Like, it ruined his game in that sense. Like, obviously, the week after, like, it definitely ruined his game. But it was the best thing for me. And I did have a little moment where I thought he must have told Betty He must have exposed a crash test, all crashes dummies and all that. But finding out he didn't, because I was like, wow, he really is like, he's loyal to the crash test dummies. And that also influenced me, obviously, keeping him as well. Mm-hmm. He pulled at that as well. Because he easily could have, it would have been, you know, game wise, it would have been better for him actually, because there's a chance I could have gone home, chance I could have stayed, but he knew that we were going to stay loyal to him, which was good. But yeah. Oh gosh. And yeah. The funny thing is actually when he put Betty up, me and Kevin talked, we're like, should we send Betty home? Like, this is our chance. We send Betty home. And then from there we're like, but he did keep us safe. Like, we're not on the block. If we do send Betty home, we're going to upset him. And now we have Josh and JC Lynn are going to be both be upset. I'm like, you know what? No, like, let's just keep Betty. Like, it is what it is. And, you know, Summer's such a strong social player. Like, she's great player. So with that, it's, you know, we're taking a great player out. So, you know, it's a win in that sense, but no, it definitely was, did think about it for sure.
Yeah. And, you know, after he tells Betty, she comes to you and Kevin.
I'm going to put me up.
Okay. Then I'm saving it.
Okay, sure. Well, you know, where is she?
I'm in the bathroom.
In the bathroom?
Yeah. In that moment, I was like, to myself, I was like, yes, oh my goodness, yes. I was like, oh my, I was dancing in the bathroom, dancing. You guys understand, I was so, so happy.
You didn't pull a Gino and open the door to
Oh, no, I was dancing. Yeah. I actually really did have to go to the bathroom. I was just in the bathroom because I was just so like, I can't believe this just happened. Like, oh my goodness, what is he gonna do? So I when Betty came, I heard her and I was like, she said that, and I was like, yes. I was having a moment to myself. That's the only area you have privacy. So I was just like collecting my thoughts, like, okay, what am I gonna say? What am I gonna do? Like, I was just, yeah. So when that was said, I was like, this is the best thing ever.
So Betty goes up, Marty and Summer leave. And then Betty wins the next HOH, which is definitely dangerous because she was just put on the block by Josh. And there's a big chance that her and Jace are going to be like, okay, the three of them are clearly working together. We need to take one of them out. But luckily this secret veto stuff, is still kind of in the way. And Betty doesn't trust Jace, and she just got put on the block by Josh. And so she's looking to put the two of them up, instead, which is great for you and Kevin. I mean, this is, amazing that the two of you both avoid the block.
Yeah, definitely. And we use that to our advantage as well. Because Betty, you know, is upset at Josh, and she did ask Josh. I think there's a clip I saw that she's like, are you working with Kalina and Kevin? He's like, no. And Betty also asked me and Kevin, she goes, are you three working together? And we deny that. Obviously they deny. And so it kind of like, I knew she's really smart. So to think that it wasn't on her radar, she did think of it. And, but it was just like, no, of course not. Like, Josh is such a strong player. And then from there, it was just, hoping that one of us won HOH following, but Betty won, and to pump that up. So,
yeah. Then you win the veto again, yeah. Regular schmegular.
Yeah.
made it happen again. Yeah. And so then it's just a matter of, you know, deciding which of Josh or Jace, are going to leave. Can you walk me through? Cause it was difficult to tell at times what you wanted, because it seemed at first that you wanted Jace to stay. Mm-hmm. But then, you know, as Kevin was flipping back and forth, it felt like you were flipping back and forth. And sometimes it was like, it felt like Kevin wanted Josh to stay and you wanted Jace to stay. But then when Kevin wanted Jace to stay, it felt like you were pushing for Josh to stay. And it was like, well, where are they? So can you walk me through it?
Yeah. So winning the veto, it was amazing, great, love that. Now, obviously, we hold the power yet again of deciding who to go home. And I knew off the bat I wanted to keep JC Lynn. And Kevin and I spoke that I told him, like, keeping Josh is better for your game, keeping JC Lynn is better for my game. And we would go back and forth. And then from there, when he was on board with keeping, at first he wanted to keep Josh, I wanted to keep JC Lynn. We were separate. We weren't
agreeing at all. And we discussed, we know it's a partnership. We shared, you know, both points, pros and cons. And then he wanted to keep Josh, or sorry, keep JC Lynn. And I was wondering, like, is this actually true though? So I was like flipping to him to be like, let's keep Josh. Let's see. Like, I wanted to see what he would say, what he'd react, and try to get in his head as well. As much as this man is smart, I'm smart too though. So I'm like, I can play. I want to play the kind of on him and see how he's acting. And from there, they'd be like, oh no, we do see, you know, the value in keeping Josh as well. And then, you know, I had my chat with Kevin Martin. And Tim, I go, I know for a fact it's better for me to keep JC Lynn. And he discusses, like, how are you, if you can't take yourself to final two, how are you going to get there? And I knew that with Kev, it would be keeping JC Lynn. There is a high chance that she would take me. Like, it just, it makes sense for my game. And JC Lynn pitched her and I, you know, spoke. And I really, I think that clip is shown, but I'm not really talking, but I told him, like, I know keeping you is better for my game. Like, would you be loyal to me? Vice versa. I know we've had some trust issues. I've sent Gina home. I've hurt you. And she also was like, yeah, keeping you is better for my game as well. And, you know, you can use a veto on me, even though I was never going to use a veto on her. But I was like, you know, something to think about for sure. And then from there, I told, you know, Kevin, like, Kev, you got to speak to JC Lynn. Like, trust me, like, it will make sense as well. Like, she will be loyal. And obviously she spoke to Kevin, and Kevin at this point was like, no, we got to keep Josh. And I didn't, as much as I kind of like towards the end, I was like, okay, I see both pros and cons of keeping both, but personally for my game, I need to keep JC Lynn. But Josh is such a strong social player. Like, he's pulling at the heartstrings of it. And yes, my heart is just so big. I'm just like, okay, yeah, maybe we can ride this out. Like, this is a three. Like, he's gonna be loyal. And he, you know, pumped the whole, like, you know, in the triple, he didn't put us up. Like, he didn't put me up. He easily could have put me up. Now he's fighting with his best friend. Like, okay. JC Lynn has a strong pitch, very strong pitch. And she convinces Kevin at this point. She's gotten Kevin's head. She hasn't convinced him, but she's gotten in his head. Him and I are going back and forth. At this point, we know we have to keep JC Lynn, but we're just like openly talking. I think that's one thing where it kind of got confusing for the live feeders, where Kevin and I would openly talk to each other about like all these like random thoughts that you'd think. Like, we knew what we wanted to do, but we just openly would share everything on our mind. So it was like, we're flippy floppy, we're wishy-washy, but just those, you know, those initial random thoughts you do have, like we would just said it out loud all the time to each other. But we knew we got to keep JC Lynn, even though she definitely like got Kevin thinking for sure. And he was like, yeah, no, that does make sense. Like, I can't believe this 24-year-old girl has cracked me. Like, what? She got me thinking. She's like, I know it's good, but fine. We had our decision made. And Josh, spoke to me. Yeah. He's like, hey, can I talk to you? And I was like, I didn't want to, cause I knew at that moment, I was like, wow, I am missing home. I'm like, you know, like it's, ugh, okay, fine. Like, let's talk. He pulled at my heart. And I openly told Josh too. I go, yeah, like, I'm keeping JC Lynn is better for my game. Like, I'm not going to deny that. And we openly talked as well, communicated. And he, you know, pulled on my heartstrings. And from there, I was like, wow, like, I am going to be so devastated if I send Josh home. I'm going to hurt him. And he didn't do that to me. He's not going to do it to me. Like, come on. How can I do it to him? This whole thing. I think also where it was pumped up that we're such bad people, Canada hates us. That was always something that, like, I'm like, this is not who I am, like in real life. Like, I don't do this to my friends or family. Are you kidding me? And that was pumped up. I'm like, you really think that, like, everybody hates us? I'm like, I know in the game, everybody hates me, but nobody hates you too. Like, I'm the one getting the hate out of it. I'm like, wow, like, okay, that's fine. It's a game. I had that mindset. And Josh knew that as well. Like, he knew the way people like treated me and spoke to me is because like I would take some heat for it. And I think Kevin and him both acknowledged that. And they noticed that like being a woman, I'm not going to get much recognition opposed to like, you know, a man. So I'm like, he's using everything. Like, he's coming at me in all directions. And Kevin goes, why did you talk to Josh alone? And he's like, why did you do that? And I was like, well, what am I going to say no to him? And then he's like, no, but he's going to pull your heartstrings. I go, and he definitely did. Like, he definitely did. And he's like, okay, well, you know what? I'm like, I didn't make my mind up yet. Don't worry about it. We're still going to keep JC Lynn. And he's like, yeah, we are. I'm like, talk to him though. See what happens. Like, I believe him. Like, I was, you know, and Josh is that good. and he talked to Kev. Next thing I know, they're screaming and laughing with each other in the room. Like, what's happening? They're like, should we, like, we're going to do this. We're going to say the whole to each other. Like, you know, and I was like, we are? Are you sure? Like, okay. We said yes to Josh. We're going to keep you. And then me and Kevin spoke. We're like, oh, do we want to do this? We went back and forth yet again. And yeah, ultimately it was Josh pulled at our heartstrings and mostly mine. And I was like, yeah, I caved in and I shouldn't have at all. Cause I was really like being strategic and using game. And I knew the entire time I knew to keep JC Lynn, but Josh got me at a low point and he flipped me. Flipped us, I guess. Sorry. He flipped us.
Yeah. And I know that Jace felt particularly burned by you because she felt like you were really sort of like pumping her tires about like you really wanted her to stay, but like, I don't know about Kevin. And then when Kevin was like, no, I want you to stay, she was like, and she felt like you were like, wait, I thought you were on board. Why are you acting like you're not fully on board yet?
I really was. I really honestly was though. And that's a thing, but, and I didn't, just in case if it did, like if something, you know, we did flip or whatever, I wanted to make sure like the blame's on Kev at least, like, you know, like I can try to pull at this point. But everything I did say to her though, it was true though. I knew keeping her was better for my game, but I admit it, like I felt weak in that moment and I kept Josh and it ruined my game, but it was just, everything I told her was true though. It was, she was better for my game. I was pumping her tires a bit extra. Like, you know, I could have just, you know, left it mid, you know, drivable. I was like overinflating it. I really was. I definitely was overinflating it for sure. But it was, I was like, it is what it is. What can you do? Like get wrapped up in it. And the emotions are so high, especially like towards the end when there's just five of you, like in that house, like it's a lot. It's a lot.
You also did leave a goodbye message for Jace. I have the clip of that. I don't know if I guess you watched this episode, so you've heard this.
You're a strong, independent girl. There's no doubt about that. But you focus more on love than the game. My head was always in the game since the beginning.
Shut up.
I know you don't respect my decision, but you're outside this house and I'm in here.
Oh my goodness.
Oh, shut up.
Oh, shut up. Yeah. Oh my God. Yeah. The sass came out.
Yeah.
But you know what? I didn't say it. Did I lie? No. She came out of it finding love. She, you know, in the end of it, I know at the beginning, she's like, I would cut Gino like if needed. Towards the end, she knows she would never have cut Gino because she fell in love. So she was, you know, she was nurturing that relationship. And I'm so happy for them. They're a great couple. And I was focusing more on the game. And it definitely came out with sass and attitude. And I don't take it back.
Was this an instance of maybe not remembering about jury management?
Definitely. 100%. Oh, definitely. At that point I was like, my hands are up in the air. I don't care. Jury what? Jury Schmurry. I don't care. Jury, it is what it is. It is what it is.
Kevin said that he was telling you that he was also leaving sassy goodbye messages.
Oh, yeah. The man played me for sure. Check on Kevin. Exactly. He's the winner for this reason. I was like, wow, really, Kevin? Because Kevin's a villain. He's saying like, you know, everyone hates him. I was like, I don't understand. No, you don't. Nobody hates you, Kevin. I don't like, no, you're not. And then he told me that, and I was like, really? And I'm like, wow, I've been so nice and so like honest and real or whatever. And I was like, well, you know what? Yeah, JC Lynn, I'm going to give it to you. And I got played for sure.
Whoops. So Josh ends up winning the HOH, even though he wasn't supposed to. And then he also wins the veto. Now things are looking not great.
Yeah, even with Josh winning, I knew that was going to happen. Like, it was just too good to be true in that sense of like, obviously me and Kevin did believe him. Like, we're not going to, you know, we did believe him. He's going to throw it. But in the back of your head, you're kind of thinking, it's too good to be true. Is he actually going to do that? And then when he's, you know, as the comp's going on, I'm like, he's not going to throw it. Like, he's going to win it, which is fine. And then he wins the veto. And then from there, there's just this, I know, everyone I've talked to, like, your time's done in the house. You kind of have this feeling of like your time's done, but I didn't think it was for sure my time was going to be done, because when I spoke to Josh, I told Josh, him and I didn't solidify a final two at all, but we always kind of had understanding. because I knew him and Kevin were close and I knew of their final two. Kevin did tell me about, I was like, I'm going to mention it to Josh because I don't want to seem like a snake or, you know, seem super like sneaky and be like a final two, cut Kevin, screw Kevin. Because I knew how close they were. So I didn't want him to think, well, she's throwing Kevin under the bus. Like us three are supposed to be something. I don't know. So even though I should have, but I told him like, you know, you and I are cool. Whatever happens, like, I'd love to sit next to you. I'm not scared to sit next to you. I told Josh multiple times, I'm not scared to sit next to you in final two. Like the others are scared to sit next to you. I'm not scared. Like I would love to sit next to you in final two. That was the case. But when it came down to it, you know, pitching everything, finding out Josh, I would have been better for Josh's game if he kept me. But obviously winning comps, he's like, kind of like, you can win against me. Kevin can't in comps. So it's like, you're damned if you do, you're damned if you don't. If you win comps, you're a threat. If you don't win comps, you're not a threat. You are a threat. It's just like, how can you win in that way? Cause I know with HOH, I never won HOH, but at least lots of times I didn't want to win HOH cause who would I put up? I was always cool pretty much with everybody. When it came to POVs, obviously I won when I really, really had to. In that moment, that last POV, I really wish I won. I was super close and I didn't. And I tried to advocate, but I feel like slowly, like I didn't advocate enough. I just kind of like, my game was just like, my tires were just deflating. And I was like, I should be advocating more. I should be pumping myself up more. I should be. But in that moment, you know, it was kind of like, I'm giving up a little bit in a way, even though I tried not to, I really tried to advocate, but I wasn't pitching hard enough. I should have pitched harder. And I think we were in Expedia when I was talking to Josh. It was me, Josh, and Kevin. We're pitching, and then Betty came in. And then it was like, we're at a breaking point, but then Betty walked in and it just kind of was like, I just know, like, I could just tell, like, he's going to save her. And at that point, it just, he knows that it doesn't make sense. Like Kevin is just, you know, pitching way harder and I wasn't pitching hard enough. And, you know, it is what it is.
Yeah. So you end up heading to jury. What's the reaction? Like what's the vibe at jury?
Everyone was so happy to see me. I was nervous going into jury. I had so many apologies. Are you kidding me? I was like, I have to start with my apologies first. But everyone was happy. And then I had to, you know, share everything. I was like, this is what's happening. The ghost. They're like, they were shocked. And, you know, I wanted to ensure that Kevin had the vote. So I was advocating for Kevin in jury, letting them know, like, Kevin's a mastermind. Like, Kevin is a genius. He is the true legend. Like, trust me. And I know that they had some hatred towards Josh a little bit of the game wise of how sneaky Josh was. And I was so like shocked by it too. I didn't know how like sneaky he was and like the true villain that he was really. Then from there, it was also seeing like Betty's game and, you know, exposing that and things like that. So in jury, it was good to see everybody, but I had a lot of apologies. I had to do a lot of apologies and we hashed everything out. That's the thing. Like, I told everybody what I said about them, what I did. This is my game. But I really highlighted more on Kev though, because I wanted them to see Kevin as the master strategic person, the player of the season. Because I really wanted him to win no matter what. So it was really just all painting on Kevin and highlighting Kevin in the best way possible. So they would know that Kevin is the person you want to represent the season and to play. So that was kind of just my motion of pumping up Kevin.
There you go. So obviously you see Betty walk out. Did you think that Josh would take Kevin, or did you think at that point he would take Betty?
Well, from what I thought is if Josh is a deciding person, he's going to take Kevin because he thinks it's an easy win, mm-hmm. or he's going to use his emotions and he's going to keep Betty because that's what he would have done. If he got rid of Betty when it was final four, that was, you know, game wise, it would have been smart. Like you get rid of Betty, like you're using your head, not your heart. He didn't do that. So I'm thinking either it's going to be 50-50. Either he's going to use his heart and keep Betty because it's his best friend, or he wants to win and he thinks it's an easy win next to Kevin. So I was thinking, to be honest, just finding out Josh being so like sneaky, he's going to take Kevin. I was like, no, the way this man's moving, he has moved in this game. He's going to take Kevin. He thinks it's an easy win next to Kevin. So when Betty walked out though, Jen, I was shocked though. I was like, he got his best friend at the final. Like, oh my goodness. Like I couldn't do that. Like he did it. Like I couldn't. Oh my. It was like, wow. Like you actually did that. Like you're cutthroat.
He did it. And then, Kevin wins. The ghosts come through.
Yes, so happy, the best thing ever. Like how do you feel? I feel like I've won because Kevin won. Like I've won anything, but I literally do feel that way because Kevin honestly is the best person to represent this season, and he's such an amazing player. Like everything that we did it together. Yes, like it was a partnership, full-on partnership, but Kevin kept me in line, I kept him in line. But he had the extra mile though. Like he was fully prepared for this game and he could detach his emotions from the game. Like that's my downfall, I can admit. Like towards him, I couldn't detach my emotions. I fell prey to, you know, using your heart. Kevin was always, he had his eye on the prize all the time, no matter what. So it was the best thing ever. Like shock. Like I think at one point when they're saying the votes, Arissa's saying the votes, like Josh is trying to console Kevin, thinking like he's not gonna get any votes. And I saw the way around. It's like Herman, he's like, okay. Then it's like Moose. And he's like, okay. And then Josh is even shocked. Like, are you kidding me? Like, it was shocking.
Yeah. So there it is. Anything, I think I already asked you about the after party stuff. Any big interactions? Did you make any, all-star alliances?
All-star alliances, nothing so far, to be honest. I feel like I'm just finally decompressing, getting back into life, really. So about all-stars, don't know. Definitely be open to any alliances. I don't know about any big alliances, you know. maybe that will be, you know, for the future. Mm. But, you know, open to it for sure. Open to it.
All right. Anything else you wanted to bring up?
No, I think we covered lots. I know I ramble and I go off on a tangent, so thank you for being patient with me.
That's what we're here for.
Yes, no, definitely. I think the game was an amazing game and it was a game. I think that's what like the outside Canada doesn't realize sometimes. It was a game that we played and a game like we discussed before. I had a life before the game. I have a life after the game. I was playing a game. I had to do what I had to do to survive in the game. That's one thing. So anyone to, you know, playing the game, they'll understand that it was a game. And if they don't understand, then that's something they got to work on themselves. But it's a game. Absolutely love the game. And hopefully, you know, play it again in the future. If not, I can't wait to watch again. Absolutely love it. It was the time of my life. Even though like, all the secrets and everything, all these like secrets are coming out, like even Kevin not being married, I was shocked because towards like last like few weeks, Kevin would be like, so like, you know, like we're always gonna be friends, right? I'm like, yeah, I get it. He's like, so nothing's gonna change your perspective of me. And I'm like, I don't really care. Like nothing's gonna change my perspective of you. I don't like, no, we're gonna be friends always. And he's like, oh, okay, make sure. Like, you know, I'm just like, what could this man's secret be? Like, why, what's gonna change my perspective of him? I used to think maybe he's like a drama teacher. Maybe he's the CEO of the tech company, like, you know? And then when I found out he's up married, I was like, what? Like, that was a shock. I was like, no, that's not going to change my perspective of you. Like, we're good. And then Josh being a doctor. Mm-hmm. I was like, I slept next to a doctor. Are you kidding me? Like, I think at one point I was choking. Like, I was like laying in bed. I just choked on my own spit. I choked and Josh didn't move, didn't flinch. And after I was like, wow. I'm like, Josh, would you have saved my life? Like when I was dying, remember that day I was dying in bed? Like that day, would you have saved me? He goes, I was a marine biologist in the house, Helena. Like, you know, I had to stick to it. I was like, so obviously we're dying. Like you would have been saved. I'm like, wow. Had no idea. Like you have no idea. Like at one point, I think, remember it was me, Summer and Josh also, we'd lay in bed and we'd share something about our careers or jobs. You know, Summer would talk about sociology. I'd talk about early childhood education. Josh would talk about marine biology. He'd be spitting facts about the fish and the coral reef and this. we'd be eating it up. We'd be like, yeah, no way. Oh my goodness. All lies. All lies.
Did you see that they did a segment on Josh being a marine biologist, and then Kevin would ask him all kinds of questions. And there was this clip.
And what's the difference between a barracuda and an eel?
That's a good question.
Yeah, always would be. There's some question I think I would ask Josh. He'd be like, so, oh, that's something to look into. Yeah, I don't, like, you know, he'd say that and he wouldn't think anything of it, because even in your own field, sometimes you don't know the question, you blank, you know. Like, I remember someone asking me about something about like early child education. I'm like, oh, the different philosophies. And I'm like, yeah, there's many different, and I'm like, wait, what's other philosophy? And I blank out and I'm like, and then people are like, are you sure? You're like, you work? I'm like, no, I really do. I promise. And just obviously I'm like, but I'm blanking. So I'm like, I believe it too. Like, I blank in my own career. So obviously he's going to blank too, but to be a whole doctor. No, didn't see that coming.
No, oh, boy. Oh boy. Oh boy. All right. Well, thanks so much for chatting with me here.
Well, thank you so much for speaking with me. I appreciate it.
Of course. Where can people find you if they're looking for you on social media?
I have not tackled Twitter. Twitter is a scary place. So I'm not on Twitter yet. Maybe hopefully I'll go there. But I'm on Instagram, Helena Gill. Just that's the one right now. That's only where I'm at right now. And we'll see what happens. Maybe I'll use other platforms. But I'm just slowly dipping my toes back into the social media world and everything. We'll see what happens.
All right. Well, thank you so much for doing this with me.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
Yes.
All right. Take care. Have a good day.
Yes, you too.